morning. I'm Dylan Gonzalez. Texas Tech quarterback Brandon Sorsby intends to enter the 2026 NFL supplemental draft. The decision comes amid a Big 12 lawsuit and a June 22nd deadline to enter the supplemental draft. The last NFL supplemental draft took place in 2023. On the diamond, the Reds won big over the Mets 12-0 last night. Cincinnati will try to do it again tonight versus New York. Coverage starts just after 6 o'clock over on the Fan 2. The Guardians will be back in action tonight after a couple of days off. They'll start a series in Milwaukee versus the Brewers. First pitch for that one is scheduled for 7:40. And five-star guard LJ Smith announced yesterday he will reclassify to the 2026 class and play for the basketball Buckeyes this upcoming season. This update is sponsored by TurboTrack Realty. Done with that property, call John Kozik at TurboTrack Realty and get a cash offer today. 614-470-2000.
Breakfast time!
Hello, welcome to T-Bone and Tyvis. Can I take your order?
Just want a little breakfast.
Hey, you want some crabs? Because I got some of them.
Get ready to drive through the intersection of football, food, and fun.
Come on, Joe!
Featuring producer Dylan.
Who are the five best rappers of all time?
Special guests.
Are you serious?
And you. Wake up.
For what?
It's time for T-Bone and Tyvis.
Welcome in. Happy Tuesday to you. What's up? I'm T-Bone. He is not Tyvis, and he is not Joshua Perry. Filling in for our fill-in is Dave Biddle. What's up, Dave?
What's up, T-Bone? Good to see you.
Good to see you, man. Long time since we've got to do a show together. But yeah, Joshua Perry, who's been filling in admirably for Tyvis Powell, who's still on paternity leave, follow this thing. He apparently had to do stuff with his TV gig with NBC. They had a big meeting up in the Northeast. I'm not sure where. I'm going to say Vermont. I don't know where it is. Somewhere northeast.
That would qualify.
Yeah. But he had to go up there for a couple days. So today and tomorrow, we will have different hosts. But then he'll be back Thursday. Tyvis will be back Monday. But forget all that. Dave Biddle's here now. And you're wearing a U.S. soccer shirt. Love it.
That's right. I got it the day before the game.
That's the way.
I'm wearing it again.
That's the way to do it. Did you buy a Knicks shirt on Saturday as well?
There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
There's nothing wrong with catching a little World Cup fever. Nothing wrong with that. But actually, no, Biddle, you follow all the sports. So, like, you keep an eye on the crew. You keep an eye on the Jackets. You keep an eye on all the local teams. And when soccer time comes around, you're not foreign to the idea. I'm just saying, you're not a bandwagon fan when it comes to U.S. soccer.
I am not. No. I liked me some Dos Acero back in the day.
Oh,
we would have back at Until It Ended, right? It was like every time there was a World Cup qualifier at the historic Crew Stadium, it went 2-0. But I'm into it. And I was going into this tournament thinking, man, this is supposed to be the golden generation. Here they are, just haven't really improved really since maybe 2010. They kind of seem like the same team. I tell you what, I know it was one game and Paraguay's ranked 42nd in the world.
Yeah.
But man, they dominated. And I like where they're at. So we'll see this Friday against the Socceroos, basically to win the group. So that'll be interesting. But yeah, I love U.S. soccer.
Australia at 3 p.m. Now, the following game, I think, is Thursday against Turkey and it's at 10 p.m. That one is not built for me. As a morning show radio host,
right.
Let me tell you, Friday, the day before Father's Day weekend, essentially, Melissa asked me already. She's like, what do you want to do for Father's Day? I was like, I don't care what else happens. Friday at 3 p.m. I may go out. I may be here. I need to be left alone and I need to be able to watch some soccer and enjoy some brews. I may go with friends to I think there's big watch parties over at, I don't know if they're doing one at Bridge Park again, or if they're, I thought I heard there's one down at the Commons, Columbus Commons is having one, but wherever it is, if I go somewhere, I need to be able to have a few brews and watch the game and just go live that life again. Cause I used to do that all the time. Being a dad, it's been a little rough getting out to tailgates and soccer parties and stuff like that.
If you have a game you really want to watch, like Friday's game, are you more, just generally speaking, I'm sure you do both, are you more okay, I'm really into this, I just want to stay at home and watch it, or are you I like going out and being amongst the people, if it's a game you really care about?
Well, almost every game that I care about, I would usually prefer to be around people, because I enjoy that camaraderie. The one exception is that game against Team Up North for Ohio State.
Oh, gotcha.
Because that game, one, I mean, we have to talk about it, when we come back, or I used to do post games here, but I mean, that one is a little bit more,
I can be around the family and all that, but it's like we can't be walking in and be like, oh, they're down by 13 in the second quarter. That doesn't look good. It's like, I just shut up. Like, I don't need to hear that right now. I already know how bad it is. I'm already firing Ryan Day in my head. So I don't need any of that.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is that a, like a recent development, like within the past 6 years or you've always been that way, even when we were dominating them like 18 out of 21 years or whatever it was?
I was doing post games with Anthony Schlegel back in the day. This was probably, I mean, this has been at least 7 or 8 years ago, probably more than that. But I remember, I mean, that would have been in the dominant era. That was where it was like, you just took it for granted every year. They're going to go out and win this game. But I remember like, there was one time where he was in a room doing push-ups because every like time the defense would miss a tackle, he'd be like, gosh, dang it. And then he would like get down and do 100 push-ups. And so he's over there like sweating to the game. And then I was in a different room with the door locked because we had to have the door shut in our offices because down the hallway, Ted, who runs the board, Panama Ted, he runs the board for all the Ohio State games. He has the volume up to a million, but he's got the live volume from the stadium. It's instantaneous from Paul and Jim and the whole gang there. So the TV broadcast that I would be watching in our radio station as I was preparing for post game, that was on a delay because all TV is, you know, delayed from the radio feed. So I would hear down the hall, not much, but I could hear Ted be like, gah! And then I would be like, oh no. And then they'd be like, I just see, you know, whoever walking up to the huddle to like clapping their hands, getting ready to like, you know, get ready for the next play. And I'm like, oh, we did something bad. And then it'd be an interception or it'd be a fumble. And I'm like, oh no. So I had to keep the door shut. So I couldn't even, I didn't want anything to ruin. I had to see it. And then I was pacing. I had my hands over my ear. Like I look like a nut, just a buck nut, so to speak. But I looked like a goober just standing there by myself with my hands over my head.
Well, we lived through the 90s, so I think even during like the crazy streak that Ohio State went on when they won 7 straight games against Michigan, then the 2011 season happened, then they're like, how about we win 8 straight? Even when all that was going on,
yeah.
Before every Ohio State-Michigan game, I was nervous. And there were times when Michigan was not very good. Our guy Tyvus Powell saved the game in 2013. Mm-hmm. That was a bad Michigan team. Ohio State was favored, I think, by like 17 points in that game. And that ended up being 43. Was it 42-41, 43-42? I think it was 42-41, Tyvus intercepting the two-point conversion for Michigan. But there we go. Heck yeah. Heck yeah.
He may have brought that up from time to time.
He should. Does he bring that up or does he bring the fact that he was, that was what everybody remembers most, but he was the defensive MVP of the national championship game against Oregon. Yeah,
that also That's comes pretty up cool. from time to time. Okay. Actually, I'm upset about that because the trophy he has is on the set of the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show. And if you just heard of what I just said, none of those words are Tyvus Powell.
Yeah.
But this show is called T-Bone and Tyvus.
Yeah.
We don't bring the trophy to the set of this studio.
No, of course not.
Tyvus should have it like right here.
And he said he's not going to go get it. And I don't understand. I said, I'll go get it for you.
Dylan, you and I should, he's on leave. He can't do anything about it. We should drive up there today, go find McNuggets or whatever the hell their names are up there. That's, hi, I'm T-Bone here to speak to McNuggets, whatever, all the meat products are gathering. But I will go up there and get it from him and Bull and all those guys and say, can we have this? He works here every day.
Speaking of Friday, I'd be remiss if I didn't invite you to Hollywood Casino. We're having a watch party for the game.
Yes.
The 97.1 The Fan watch party. Now there are some problems. You would have to hang with myself and Scotty Vegas.
Oh, so that's no problem. The only thing is, if you think I'm insane watching games that I care about, Scotty Vegas is the most insane human being I've ever seen watching games.
He's great.
Even games he doesn't care about, but he's bet on them.
He's so funny. We'll be getting ready for the Super Bowl. We'll be out there and there's always a golf tournament going on that he's got a lot of money on, and he's the one person going over and watching one of the smaller screens they have there, which is still kind of a big screen. The one screen that actually has the golf tournament on, and he's just sweating it out. He gets so excited, and I love it. So that's the thing I love about Scott. He gets so excited about everything. It's infectious. So if you want to come out to the casino, the sports book, we're going to be there for a watch party.
There you go.
I could just see Scotty in the middle of the Super Bowl going over to a smaller TV, betting on some darts.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. What is it? Guys, do you have the highlight on? I was hoping to get, I got a parlay on the highlight.
Sounds like a
did you guys like song. Open up the hotel last weekend?
We didn't open it up, but that was the day they opened, and it looks nice out there, man. They had Brett Michaels out there doing a concert, a little Poison. Not Poison, but it was
what do you think he's singing?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he's doing
Taylor Swift covers.
Right. Yeah. I would think he can do the rights. He's got the rights to a couple Poison songs. You're right. Yeah, I think he can play a few of those.
But the hotel looks nice out there, man. They did a nice job with it. So we'll
they comp you a room since you practically live there anyway.
I joked with them. We need to have a Scotty Vegas suite, and they said, "Okay, we'll set one up." And I'm like, "Okay, it doesn't hurt to ask."
Look at that. That's great. What does that entail? There's no bed and just like a pile of cocaine and 18 TVs. Is that what it is? That's by the way, it's Hot Take Tuesday, so. You can fire those off today. Join us for Hot Take Tuesday in the chat. Just go to YouTube, 971 The Fan, T-Bone and Tyvis, or you can tweet us at Bone and Tyvis 971 Biddle, and this is how it goes. I mean, the people send us their hot takes. Guess who's in the chat? Guess who sent us a hot take already?
I'm going to guess Tyvis.
That's right. Tyvis Pal 23 in the chat says, Wagwan, which is his Jamaican Wagwan greeting for good morning or what's going on. But then he said, Hot Take Tuesday, Paige Bueckers ruined the Dallas Wings by having them take AZ Fudd over Olivia Miles. That is a hot take and also a take that I'm sure 90% of our audience goes, I'm not sure about what any of that is, but good.
Every time you and Tyvis talk WNBA, I'm like, great, they're having a conversation amongst themselves with the mics on.
Hey, I watch the WNBA. He watches the WNBA. I don't know if apparently not everybody likes basketball around here, but if I like basketball, I'm going to watch this stuff. But Olivia Miles has this, it doesn't matter. She's got 10 points while shooting 55% or better in six straight games. Second longest streak by a guard in WNBA history. She's playing well. So good for her. Anyway, no one cares. Well, people care, but
I support the league, but I'm not watching night to night like Tyvis is.
Secretly, Tyvis, this is a hot take for you. He and Scotty Vegas could share that suite when it comes to betting, because Tyvis is betting on those WNBA games 100%. Like, no doubt about it.
I was betting on the UFL this year, speaking of being a degenerate.
This is called intervention.
How did Dave Biddle?
They won three games twice. I bet on them to win. There you go.
That
was the key. Then once I bet on them.
Aviators? On the Aves?
On the Aviators to
Are
win.
We calling them the Aves?
And the Aves?
I don't know.
Can we get
the Tours?
I don't know.
The Yates? I don't know. The Yotes with the Coyotes.
I don't know. Spanish soccer player prop go yesterday. Not good.
Lamine Yamal, he got in the game and he made it look, he tried, but Spain. Buddy, you better learn how to speak some Cabo Verde. Yeah. Steven Marrera. Crew player, by the way. I totally forgot. Steven Marrera was even playing for him. I'm watching the game and I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. I forgot. Like, he's listed as being like from France, or like that's what I associate him with because he played in France, but he is actually a Cabo Verde national. He can play for the team.
His parents are from there.
Even though
he was born and raised in France, his parents were from, how are we pronouncing it? I always went with,
well, it's Cape Verde is what we say, but then I saw on the thing they have Cabo Verde, and I'm trying to go with whatever you want to be called, I go with that. That's how I live my life. If you want to be called this, I call you that.
I'm still trying to get used to Turkey.
I did not know until literally this month that it's spelled any other way than the sandwich meat. Or the thing we have on Thanksgiving. I didn't know it was spelled a different way.
I think they changed it 2 years ago. Now everybody's just now catching up to it. Yeah.
It makes sense. It's probably like a language. Yeah. This just in, everybody's dumb. Like, we're all dumb and I'm dumb and I'm learning things. I'm not as dumb as like Dave Portnoy, who yesterday was like, did anybody even know Ivory Coast exists? It's like, yeah, we did.
Yes.
Didier Drogba, you might want to look him up if you're not a soccer fan. It's okay. Some sanity returned to college football last night. We will tell you why next. It's T-Bone and Tyvis. Dave Biddle sitting in on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and welcome to your Tuesday. Right now, we are just seeing one crash on our roads, and it's happening on the west side, just outside of Franklinton, just by the Hilltop area. It's on West Broad Street. A portion is closed between North Terrace Avenue to North Eureka Avenue, so that westbound traffic is affected. Definitely use those side streets to get around. Looks like it happened just before 4:30 this morning. One person taken to the hospital after a vehicle hit a pole out there. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your...
And- Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A refreshing start to the day for us with a few clouds and wake-up temperatures in the 50s, and then we turn mostly sunny today and warmer with highs getting in the mid to upper 70s. For tonight, could see a few stray showers or storms, otherwise mostly cloudy with lows in the 50s, and increasing clouds on Wednesday with highs in the low 80s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
The two most mature people working at the radio station. And that's just because they wear pants.
The pervert and the skivvies.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan. Both of these men played sports in high school. Only one of them was good at it. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
I don't know, Dave, did you play high school sports?
I did. I played basketball and baseball throughout my senior year.
Where'd you go to high school? Like, I'm trying to think of where was high school for Dave Biddle back in the day?
Beaver Creek out of the Dayton area.
Oh, look at that. Okay. Right on. Yeah. There you go. Nice. And you were a two-sport athlete in high school?
Yeah.
Better than me. I was one and very barely a high school athlete.
Basketball.
Yeah, basketball, which is unbelievable. I mean, I've got the build. I know most people see me walking down like, that's a basketball player.
Yeah.
Short and round. That's what they look for.
You were boxing out. You were setting picks.
That's right.
You were the enforcer.
Absolutely. Yeah. Tyvus, of course, will be back on Monday as we near his return from paternity leave. Though, Tyvus will be out at the Fan 5K this Saturday doing 40-yard dash. He will run a 40-yard dash, and then apparently we will get that time, and then you can try to beat him. It's at Otterbein. Saturday morning, 8 a.m. You can still get registered, 971therace.com, but it's on the football, like we're on the track, but the football field is inside the track. So then there's 40 yards just easy to mark off, and then we can have this little run. So 1 mile, 5 mile, or 5 mile, 1 mile, 5K, which is 3.1 miles, and then the 9.71K, which works out to just about 6 miles. You can pick your distance and sign up. You get a medal, finishers medal for everybody who does it. T-shirt as well. It's pretty cool stuff. And you get to hang out with all of us. A lot of fan personalities will be out there.
An important factor in this is there going to be a stopwatch, and who is holding the stopwatch for Tyvus?
That's a solid question. And I also think Tyvus will probably get someone favorable, like a family member, to hold the stopwatch for him. And then he will be in charge of the stopwatch after his run. So that'll get a favorable timing. And then he'll be on the watch for like everybody else, and we'll see what that looks like. I'm curious.
He says he's gonna run a 4.46 middle just like he did at the combine.
He looks like he's still in playing shape.
Stop. This playing shape if he wanted to play like edge rusher.
Look, I'm
that's
I'm just saying this is called Dave, just a reminder, it's Hot Take Tuesday, not Outright Lies Tuesday, where he looks like he could run.
He said his playing weight, which was like, I believe, like 212 pounds.
He could play for the Aviators.
There you go.
That's my hot take.
Cardale came on the show and said like that they needed a water boy.
Yeah, he did. He's good. Apparently not going to play in college football this year is Brendan Sorsby. So this saga has finally come to an end. It appears. So late last night, the news came down that he apparently has made the decision to enter the supplemental draft, which you might say, well, how can he do that? He's currently eligible to play college football. Well, that's funny. He's only eligible because his team legally filed a motion to get eligibility allowed while this court case was going on about whether or not the NCAA can ban someone from gambling or not in their sport.
No, Bone, he didn't do it. Or they didn't do it. He did it.
He did it all himself. It wasn't Texas Tech. It was just Brendan Sorsby.
Just the $5 million they gave him may or may not have helped.
Yeah, that may not have helped. But he did that. Then that got an injunction that allowed him to be eligible. So now he is going to tell his lawyers, apparently, please remove let's drop our case. That will remove the injunction, which will then make him ineligible again. And then the NFL, because once you're ineligible, that's when you're allowed to go to the supplemental draft. Then he'll be able to make that decision. It has to be done by June 22nd, which is, if you're not keeping score, 6 days from now. So the deadline was looming for him. It appears that some of what happened yesterday, Dave, may have caused this decision to change because it got a little hectic yesterday.
It's pretty amazing how Texas Tech went from, no, we're standing by our guy. We're going to go bleep to the wall for our guy. And then complete 180 yesterday. Okay, actually, we're going to drop everything. He's going to go to the supplemental draft. Yeah, I think the Big 12 coming in and doing what they did with threatening the lawsuit. I think that was the the nail in the coffin for him. Now I'm curious, T-Bone. It was 15 years ago when Terrell Pryor went to the supplemental draft. Was taken in the third round, and they made the wise decision, to suspend him. Now, will they suspend Brendan Sorsby? Will Goodell use the same logic here, since he was going to be suspended for the entire year? My guess is no. I'm just happy for college football. The whole thing was a farce, in my opinion. It's the cardinal sin, especially as somebody grew up like, you know, as a little kid, I loved Pete Rose, and that whole thing broke my heart, you know, being a Reds fan, and it was my dad's favorite player until he wasn't. I mean, that was the one thing you can't bet on your own team. And then the idea that Sorsby only bet on Indiana to win, even if that's true, still can't do that. But there were a couple times, T-Bone, as you know, he bet on, when he was at Indiana, he bet on the under for passing yards for Indiana. Like, he wouldn't have any, like, he's like, oh, I wasn't playing. Yeah, like, you wouldn't have any knowledge of, like, the quarterbacks on the team or, like, the game plan or anything like that. So he was betting the under. So I'm just glad, because that is, like, the one thing I thought, okay, the NCAA has no teeth anymore. But that's the one thing. That's the line you can't cross. And then he crossed that line. If he was able to play, that would have been absolutely awful. I kind of was, you know, I was hoping he wouldn't be able to play, T-Bone, but like, the one thing I was kind of looking forward to if he did play was road games. Like, one of the road games is at Cincinnati this year. Imagine that. Not that that's a raucous environment. It would be for that game, but every road game, people would just be giving him the business. So I was kind of looking forward to that, the chicanery that would have brought to light, but good. I am glad this is finally been put to bed. At least we think so.
Well, right? Yeah, obviously things can change, but this is so. Apparently, yesterday, what the Big 12 filed, this is all related. And again, try to keep your eyes from rolling back in your head. I know it's early, and I'm going to talk about legal briefings for a second. But basically, the Big 12 and the NCAA both filed motions. But the Big 12 seems to have the one that kind of did the deal here. Last week, the Texas Attorney General said, if the Big 12 even thinks about sanctioning Texas Tech in any way, Texas, the state attorney general, will be on your ass. We will go after you. Yeah, you can't do that. And the Big 12, when they heard that, said, maybe we should get a lawyer involved. I'm sure they were already thinking that. They got a law firm involved that apparently is like this global law firm that does all kinds. I mean, they're called Sidley Austin. They're a massive firm. So they got them involved, and their attorneys said, oh, well, now that an attorney general is threatening your conference with legal threats based on you just doing your league's bylaws, that could violate interstate commerce laws. That could literally violate the First Amendment. I almost said the Second Amendment. I don't know. Maybe it could have violated. I don't know how that would work. But the First Amendment, freedom of speech, and then other legal issues would arise from that, too. So they filed this briefing Sunday night. Sunday, apparently, there was a meeting at Texas Tech with Brendan Sorsby and all the powers that be at Texas Tech. And they all said, hey, man, we're still with you. What do you want to do here? And he said, I want to play football. And they're like, cool, we want you to play football for us. We're all in on this. Sunday night, lawsuit gets filed. And like literally at 1 a.m., I think they said this lawsuit got filed. Yesterday morning, panic, panic, panic from all the Texas Tech people, meetings everywhere. Courtney, there's a great article on this in Yahoo Sports. Ross Dellinger wrote a nice piece about it if you want to go read it. But that is what led to yesterday. He decided, oh, never mind, I'm going to the NFL draft. And the reason he gave is, well, he didn't actually speak about it, but Cody Campbell did, the mega booster at Texas Tech.
And why is he?
Oh, yeah. Why
the hell is he?
Well, he's
just become Brandon Sorsby's behalf.
Well, no, because he says that Texas Tech has every legal right to do what they did. They still stand on firm legal ground. But then Brandon Sorsby just decided it was his time to go, because he, you know, it's really tough. And if we get some evil ruling that says you can not bet on college sports and play college football, well, then he'd be stuck in no man's land for a year. So yeah, that's what Texas Tech is saying today. They also, for what it's worth, Cody Campbell apparently said they're not going after the money, because whatever money he got paid, I don't know if he gets it all at once. I don't know if he gets it in payments, however that works. Whatever he's already been paid by Texas Tech, he's keeping.
Yeah, $4 million for Cody Campbell is probably like, you know, couch cushion money for him. But still, that's surprising. He's going to get everything. I tell you what, Will Hammond's happy today. That would be, he was going to be the backup quarterback at Texas Tech. And as we were talking off the air, he is coming off an injury, but it looks like Will Hammond's going to be the starting quarterback there. And real quick, I'm curious how high Sorsby will go in the supplemental draft. Like, I don't think he'll go undrafted. I wouldn't use, even if I needed a quarterback, I don't know if I'd use a second round pick. Maybe third. I don't know. I mean,
I'll tell you right now, And I, you know, well, we come back. There is one NFL franchise that I swear to God, if they start, well, maybe Brandon Sarsby's our answer, I may be done. 2 minutes away, T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Well, for the most part, the roads are still looking A-OK out there on this Tuesday. Just a heads up for our friends in Northeast Columbus by New Albany. We are seeing some slowdowns already pretty early on this Tuesday. 161 eastbound, passing 62, especially over by Beach Road. We're just noticing a lot of brake lights out there with that traffic jam. Just make sure to go slow and be patient. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Tyvus will put anything in his mouth on a dare. All right, almost anything. No, I stand by my previous statement. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
Dave Biddle in for Tyvus today and Joshua Perry. Joshua will be back on Thursday. It's complicated, but Joshua will be back on Thursday. Tyvus will be back on Monday. Dave is here today. And Dave, I got to tell you right now, if the Cleveland Browns, if I even hear one hinting from them, they're like, well, Brandon Sarsby, you know, we're going to kick the tires on him just like we do with everybody. I may lose my effing mind. Like, you can't stop. You have, again, they haven't even done it. And I'm mad because I feel like it's spiritually and emotionally the exact lane they love to be in, which is, this seems like a problem. There's a lot of red flags and a lot of ifs, whats, and maybes. But in that one in a million chance that it could actually work out, what would that be like for the Browns? Like, that's how the Browns live their lives. It's like, what if we found a shortcut? What if we found a way to magically fix everything? And they take dumb decision after dumb decision after dumb decision when it comes to quarterback play. And they've done it for years. So they haven't said they're in on it. I actually heard Todd Monken a few weeks ago when asked about it said, I'd prefer not to go down that road, quite honestly. Good for him. Glad he has some sense. He hasn't been infected by the stupidity of Berea yet, so it takes a while to seep in there. He's been in Baltimore where they actually win stuff, kind of. But at least he's been there around some winning. Now, I'm just saying, if the powers that be in Cleveland go, oh yeah, let's kick the tires on Brandon Sarsby, you're out of your mind. That's incredibly stupid if they do that, in my opinion.
I don't think any of the teams near the top of the draft last year are going to be the type of team to draft Brandon Sarsby. Because, like, the Browns, they have three young quarterbacks on their roster. They don't need a fourth one. The Jets, they drafted Cade Klubnik. The Cardinals, they drafted Carson Beck. I feel like you're going to see a team that's like a fringe playoff team be the type of team to draft Brandon Sarsby. And maybe one that's going to move off their quarterback next year, in my opinion, which would be Baker Mayfield and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You get like a redshirt year for Brandon Sarsby, and then you say, c'est la vie to Baker Mayfield for the following season.
That would make sense. I've heard people like bring up the Steelers. I don't see the Steelers doing that for two main reasons. Like, they usually like don't deal with like knuckleheads like that, you know, and with the Arch Leister situation, I know that was many years ago in the NFL. That's got to be at the front of the mind for a lot of teams. And furthermore, they just used a third round pick on Drew Aller. I think that was a bad pick. Will Howard. He was a sixth round. So they still have two young quarterbacks that they like. I don't see the Steelers burning a pick on him. And I'm really curious what round he'll go in. I don't see him being a first or a second. I think third is where it starts.
It seems like some people assume second, but I
don't see it.
All it takes is one desperate team.
That's true.
Which, look, the Browns exist. That's why I guarantee you that's why second is floated out there, because it just seems like, well, I mean, they were desperate for Deshaun Watson. They overpaid for him, right? They drafted two quarterbacks when they couldn't get one that they actually wanted, so they draft two that they kind of probably didn't want, and now they can't decide what to do with either of those guys, even though Dylan Gabriel seems to be on the way out. They're literally giving his number away. No one mentions him in any of these battles, right? But whatever. Like, I'm just saying that organization is probably the reason why people have said second round, just because there are organizations dumb enough to probably do it. Let's talk about the guy, the actual prospect of Brandon Sarsby, because it's just like, oh yeah, he's going to go to the NFL. Great. And do what? Is he going to be able to run the way he did in college in the NFL? That would be, to me, a little surprising. By the way, I don't think people understand. If you haven't watched him play, he's not Lamar Jackson. Like, it's not like he's got electrifying ability in the open field. He's a decent quarterback running the football against Big 12 defenses. That's about the best I can say there. Offensively, he's got a humongous arm, but wildly inaccurate and definitely not processing the way that an NFL quarterback should be. I don't think if he went to the combine, he'd have bonkers numbers with his arm. And then everybody else, once they saw him throwing to wide open guys and not quite hitting them, would probably have questions. Like, that's what I tend to think would happen with him.
Yeah, my guess is if he would have played this year at Texas Tech, none of this would have happened with gambling. He played this year at Texas Tech. I still don't think he would have been a first-round pick. I watched him a decent amount at Cincinnati. And you're right, he's talented. You see the ability there. But, like, against bad defenses, he would still be very erratic, turnover-prone.
But who knows? Because, like, we saw him play in the Big 12 last year with Cincinnati, right? And he was fine. He put up some okay numbers. When you go look at his, like, biggest performances, though, I wouldn't say they were against the best defenses in the world. Who knows? To your point, if he played this year, maybe he'd go out and have a Heisman-level campaign. Maybe he would clean up a lot of stuff. We'll never know now because he's not going to. My point is, you have to go off what you've seen, not what was. I think everything this year was projection, right? Texas Tech projecting he was going to be even better than he was last year. NFL draft scouts saying, well, he'll probably improve this year. Well, now he doesn't get that. Now he's just in the. Now you have to decide if you want to use. You can tell where my bias lies. If you want to use a first, second, third, fourth round, whatever pick you want to use on him, supplemental draft, obviously, for those who have forgotten how it works, you give up that same. If you use a second round pick, you give up your second round pick in the actual draft in 2027. So that's what you're basically giving up, is an early. You're taking an early flyer on a guy and hoping that he'll pan out for you.
This is the first time since Josh Gordon, since there's been like a notable player in the supplemental draft. I think that was 2012. The previous year was Terrell Pryor. Those of us that are a certain age, we'll remember Chris Carter was in the supplemental draft in 87. Right. He was ruled ineligible for taking, like, it's so funny thinking about some of these things back then. I think it was like $500 there. He was caught taking $500. Sorsby was going to make $5 million this year. So then Chris Carter was ruled ineligible, so he went to the supplemental draft. Gosh, what was it? Was he a first round pick?
I don't think he was. I actually don't.
I want to say Chris Carter was like in the supplemental draft, like a third round pick or something by the Eagles. All he can do is catch touchdowns. They end up releasing him, and then the Vikings pick him up. He becomes a Hall of Famer. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm really curious now where he's going to go. Go ahead.
Fourth round pick.
Fourth round.
In 87.
Oh, okay.
Fourth round.
All right.
That's a steal.
It turned out he had a Hall of Fame career. And who knows? Maybe that'll happen here with Brendan Sorsby. Obviously, you can tell I'm not high on his prospects, but
I don't think so. I think he's a good, talented quarterback, but like I even if he played this year, I don't think he would have been a first-rounder.
I think he has a lot of raw talent.
Yeah,
like,
he does.
I think, and I know he's played some college football now, but and he's got the thing that everybody loves about him is they say his release is like Pat Mahomes level. That's fine. You know what's not Pat Mahomes level? His stats. Go look at the numbers. This was not a guy who. Pat Mahomes would have some games in college where it's like they would lose 57-49 because the defense sucked, but he would put up like 500 yards. Brent Sorsby's big games are like 300-yard games. It's not like he doesn't have those. And he has games where he ran for over 100 yards on the ground, but like he was not ever someone that if you go watch him, like I've literally seen people posting highlights going, this throw is so bad, I think we have to question whether or not he had money on this game. Like, obviously he didn't. They've investigated that, but like that's he's not a finished product. This is not like you're getting who I don't even know who you would say the consensus number one guy is next year, because Arch Manning has certainly his question marks. If any of these guys were going right now in the supplemental draft, I think it'd still be lots of questions about. Maybe Dante Moore at Oregon would be the one that people thought he could have been a first rounder this year if he came out. But like Arch Manning, people would take him.
They would take him in the first round too.
But there would still be massive questions about which Arch Manning are you getting? The one from the first half of last year or the one from the second half of last year that looked a little bit better? Are you like even a guy like we have here at Julian Sayin? Like this is a guy who absolutely has some game and clearly can play. And if he was available in the supplemental draft, would probably go pretty high. But you're going to have to develop him. He still has seasoning that needs to happen. You saw it in some of their tougher games last year that he's got room to grow. And I'm saying Brendan Sorsby is not those guys. Like, he's not at their level.
Here's a stat for Sorsby that should give NFL teams pause. Again, this is not all his fault. Football's a team game, as we know.
Absolutely.
0-11 in November as a starting quarterback. 0-11 as a starting quarterback.
I'm just saying, like, everyone seems to assume, like, oh, yeah, go out and get, like, any Browns fans, if you're convincing yourselves, hey, go get this guy. Like, this, you're doing that because you're desperate. You're doing the teams that should take him are teams, honestly, like you said, the Bucs are an excellent team.
That's a good idea.
I hate to say this. I don't mean to say this just because you're sitting here, Biddle, but, like, if you're someone who's convinced that Joe Burrow just will not play for the Bengals next year or in the future years, Brennan Sorsby, like, a team that's like, we may have to get a new quarterback in the next couple of years. He's not going to be ready for this season or even probably the season after. But if you think in a few years, you might be looking, but that would be, the Bengals would never do that because that'd be an admission of failure.
Bring him back to the Queen City.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if you can bring him anywhere near the city of Cincinnati.
I don't think so.
Thank goodness Burrow's signed through 2029. He could be a free agent as early as 2030. I say just keep signing Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco's going to play until he's 50.
There you go.
Give me Flacco. Give me old man Flacco over Sorsby. But yeah, the Bucs idea is interesting, Dylan. Yeah. That's a good call. Somebody who... You could basically give him a redshirt year, like you said, and then use that maybe as leverage with Baker, because right now they probably have no leverage. I think they're going to end up signing Baker. If you have a good NFL quarterback, I don't think Baker's elite. It's so hard to find a good NFL quarterback, and he's going to get overpaid, but I think they're going to do it.
These are the other things that work against you. It's like Baker Mayfield. Anytime you bring in someone for competition, Baker Mayfield's like, oh, yeah? Sick, bro. And then he kicks his leg out from under his chair and he's like constantly putting kick me signs on him. Like, Baker's so competitive. I don't know if that's the best environment either. The Steelers, like you said, with Aaron Rodgers being like old, and it's like, all right, well, maybe he'll do one more year and then he could be done. But the Steelers probably aren't making that move, and they've already got guys that they've filled in to try to be the next in line. That's where this Brennan Sorsby thing, it trying to find the perfect landing spot for him, very difficult, because there's not a lot of teams that fit the right bill there.
I would say, it being Hot Take Tuesday, that taking Drew Aller in the third round was a awful pick, but I think that's more like a lukewarm take. I think anybody, especially those of us in Columbus, Ohio, that have watched him play, is like, Drew Aller, like, in the third round? Like,
I agree with you, but I'll give it a hot take. Why not?
Okay, thank you.
All right, coming up next, Morning Wood. It's T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
A heads up for our drivers in Delaware County. We are seeing a crash in your area just outside of Sunbury, I-71 southbound, just past 36. Expect some lane closures for you this morning, especially towards that left side, that left lane, and left shoulder. Lastly, for our friends in New Albany, still looking really slow moving out there. No incidents to report, but gosh, looking at 25 miles per hour when you're passing that 161 and 62 split, really 161 eastbound over by Beach Road. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan
supply. Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer. The Beat with Austin and Burn.
Sponsored by The Waterworks.
Daily on The Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
One of these guys still believes he can play in the NFL. It's T-Bone. He says it's because of his low center of gravity. He's dumb. This is Bone and Tyvus.
I will tell you, one of the beauties of it being summertime, at least for those of us who have kids in school, is not having to deal with the car line drop-off pickup situation. Biddle, you were saying that, like, you'll catch the show sometimes as you're dropping your kid off at school and how it's like a mess trying to get in and out, right? Like, every school, if you drop your kids off, if they don't ride the bus and you actually take them to the school, every school has their little ecosystem of how it works. And if you were to go from one school to the next, it would be like you went from, I don't know, Dubai to Ireland. You'd just be like, this is a whole different world. We have different cultures. That's, we have different so everything. Like, it wouldn't make any sense. But yeah, it's a bizarre time to be alive.
It is nice. Yeah, I would take my youngest to high school, and I would always listen to your show from about, 7:20 to about 7:45 till I got home.
Hey, that's good.
Like, every day listening to your show.
Two quarter hours. I'll take that.
Yeah, yeah, nice.
There you
get
go.
Get a meter.
No, he works here.
Yeah, just kidding.
Can't do that.
No, Gianna went to a different pre-K, kindergarten, first grade, and each one was different. Like, yeah. Pre-K, it was like, you got to get out and walk them to the door. In kindergarten, it was like a very efficient drop-off line. Where she goes to school now, it's kind of like, you can park and get out, or you can go in the line and you would think that that's chaotic. It actually works out just fine. And that's probably they're the least hands-on about it. And it's the most efficient one. Imagine that.
Yeah, right. Sometimes when that happens. Although I'll say, like, at our school, there's a teacher at our school. So for pickup in the afternoons, that's when I'm there. Cause obviously mornings I'm here, but afternoons I'm there to pick up my daughter and I'll walk there. Cause we're close enough to school that I can walk over there. But there is a line of cars from all the people who have to drive to the school and pick up their kids. There's a teacher out there on a walkie-talkie who will literally sit there and, like, she knows each student's car.
Yes.
Like, she knows the parents and will then coordinate with the person up front, be like, hey, tell so-and-so their parents here. And then they get them from wherever they're goofing around, playing, whatever they do, to, like, hey, stand up here and wait. Your parent will be up here in, like, 2 minutes. And then
that's pretty impressive memorizes all that.
Yeah, that's how it was last year for us. Was same thing. We had a number placard hanging from the rear view.
Oh, yeah.
And she knew the kid based off the number.
Wow.
Like 2 weeks into the school year.
It's crazy. I like the mental fortitude you have to have to be able to do that stuff.
If I had that person's job, I would have the kids in panic. This isn't my parent. Why are you sending me to this car?
Oh, 157. I thought it was 175. My bad. Well, have fun. This is your new family. Enjoy.
It's good to know where you stand on the important issues.
Oh, my.
This is Morning Wood.
All right, Dylan Morningwood, question number one, please.
What would you guys say your ideal vacation is? Are you guys like hiking people, city, ooh, beach, other? What do we got going on? Your ideal vacation.
Well, first of all, I don't know how you feel about it, but for me, it's like I want the kids around, but there need to be, I need to have a way that when they get bored of chilling out, they can go do something entertaining. Right. So as long as that's taken care of, where then I can get some real relaxation time. I used to not be this person, but I've changed over the years. Give me a hammock near the beach and give me like the alcoholic beverages and then give me like a little one of those giant sun hats where I can lay in the hammock, put that over my face and fall asleep. I could do that. That is a beach vacation with some chill out vibes and some drinks. I'm good with that.
I like a beach vacation. I like an all-inclusive. But my number one now, I've always liked it, but my number one now is somewhere like getting a cabin, a nice cabin
in the
mountains.
Yeah.
And to your point with the kids, it typically will have like a basement where you have like, you know, you have some ping pong down there, some pool, one of those video games, arcade games that has like 60 different games like built in.
They have, Hocking Hills, there's some places in Hocking Hills like that where it's like they have the whole basement is just a game room, and then out upstairs you got the big, like, if you can find one that has the porch where you can look out into the trees and just sip a coffee or a bourbon or whatever out there in nature while the kids are goofing around.
I had my 30th birthday earlier this year.
Wink, wink, wink.
Yeah, right. That's exactly what we did. We went down to Hocking Hills and got a cabin for a couple nights.
It's
hot tub.
Awesome.
Hot tub. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, hot tub is that's big.
It's funny you bring up Hocking Hills because my trip to Hocking Hills yesterday is what inspired this question, because I always used to be like, why do people go hiking to like Oregon for vacations? Like, that sounds boring. And I went to Hocking Hills for the first time in probably like 20 years, and I was like, there's views here.
Oh, no, there are views.
Now, there's probably better ones elsewhere in the world.
I used to be one of those people.
I used to be one of those people.
I love Ohio. I defend Ohio. Ohio against the world, all that. And I was like, Hocking Hills is great. You get all the elevation you need. What's the problem? Then I went and saw Mount Rainier, and I was like, nah, it's different out there. I mean, I admit that it is different.
Living in flat Columbus, when you see the rolling hills down like near Athens and then, you know, and Hocking Hills.
It's beautiful.
To us, it looks like, wow, look at this. Yeah, but that's because we're so used to Columbus.
It's beautiful. Dude, yeah. I went to Denver and then drove past the Front Range into like the actual Rockies. The whole time I'm just like, oh, this is why they designed Cabela's like that. Oh, I get it now. Like, I'm like looking at the Cabela's display, but it's there in front of me. It's just happening. It's real. There's a rock slide happening right in front of you. I do understand that. And of course, I'm not going to lie, I do love a hike as well, but give me that beach and give me some tequila. Oh, yeah. I'm in heaven right there. Morningwood question number two.
All right. Before I get to the second question, I got to play you an interesting thought from Knicks owner James Dolan on what the team should have did going into the playoffs.
I had this idea that maybe you should give up sex for the next 10 weeks. You don't have to give up sex for the next 10 weeks. But pushing. But like Spartans, you know what Spartans are? Right? They denied themselves, right, so that they could have an edge.
All right, so if you can understand that, he said he asked the team to give up
having sex.
the Lennox Lewis. Lennox Lewis would always abstain from sex before he would have fights.
Yeah, so I ask you guys, what would you guys need in order to give up
having sex
for 10 weeks?
For 10 weeks?
What do you need in return?
Well, we're married, so.
Yeah, this is, I don't know, like a $20 gift card to B-Dubs? I don't know. I'm pretty much.
If it's 10 weeks and then on that first day, I mean.
We're already there.
I mean, it's like, really not that much difference.
Honey, you know the thing we're already doing? I'm going to get a Target gift card out of it. Is that cool with you?
Yeah, great. Okay, fantastic.
Yeah. Dylan. What would you do to get... Yeah, we're there. Don't worry about it. It's fine. We're all good. God. That's about it.
It'd be tougher for an NBA player than us.
Yeah, I think so. I think
10 like, weeks for them, that's got to be, feel like, three years or something.
You're built like a Greek god. You're in a different city every week. You got 1,000 women throwing themselves at you in the DMs. Yeah, okay, that guy may have a different lifestyle. Like, here? Yeah, no, I'm... Trust me. My wife would actually buy the gift card and be like, here you go. 10 weeks. The free pass to not have to be bothered by you. Exactly right. All right, we'll come back. Jabe Diebler got some good news yesterday for the men's basketball team. We'll talk about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
As expected, we are starting to see some slowdowns for our friends in our southeast corner. We're talking 33 in that westbound direction over at Gender Road. At least looking a lot better on our northwest side from Dublin to Hilliard. 270, you're flying northbound and southbound out there. And for our friends in Madison County, good morning to you. Stepping out, 70 East is looking great. Between 42 to 270, that's about a 12-minute commute. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. Texas Tech quarterback Brendan Sorsby intends to enter the 2026 NFL supplemental draft. The decision comes amid a Big 12 lawsuit and a June 22nd deadline to enter the supplemental draft. The last one took place in 2023. On the diamond, the Reds won big over the Mets 12-0 last night. Cincinnati will try to do it again tonight against New York. Coverage starts just after 6 o'clock over on the Fan 2. The Guardians will be back in action today after a couple days off. They'll start a series in Milwaukee versus the Brewers. First pitch for that one scheduled for 7:40, and five-star guard LJ Smith announced yesterday he will reclassify to the 2026 class and play for the Basketball Buckeyes this upcoming season. This update is sponsored by TurboTrack Realty. Done with that property, call John Kozik at TurboTrack Realty and get a cash offer today. 614-472-000.
In terms of the Waffle House menu, Tyvus covered and smothered his opponents. Meanwhile, T-Bone is a chunk of hash who's often covered in gravy. I'm not sure what that means either. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
I have been thoroughly enraptured, covered, smothered, like Waffle House. I've been just thoroughly involved in all of the World Cup stuff, like from my couch. Basically from watching it on TV.
Same here.
I'm not going anywhere, but like my social media algorithms now, I've ended up in the Scottish soccer algorithm because Scotland's national team, they're in Boston. They were in Boston, I think, for their game, or maybe their next game is in Boston. Either way, like a lot of the Scottish fans apparently went to Fenway Park to watch a baseball game. And it was such an interesting thing because apparently whatever night they were there, the announcers during the broadcast had to acknowledge that you could hear the fans singing during the game because there were so many like Scottish soccer fans there who were like, we don't know anything about baseball, but we're in America. Let's go experience American stuff while we're waiting for our game to happen. And so they played, is it the Pretenders? The I Would Walk 500 Miles, you know that song?
Yeah.
And I Would Walk 500 More. Well, the part where they go, ba-da-ba-ba-da, like that's... They were doing that for like 10 minutes after the song ended in the stadium. You just hear the Scottish fans like, da, 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 da. They had to acknowledge on the broadcast. They're like,
well, the atmosphere is a little different tonight because the Scottish fans have taken over, and well, it seems like they're having fun, Jim. And it's like, yes, this is the beauty of the World Cup. Is the there's a lot of people who are just here because they love their soccer team, they love their country, they're coming here to watch them play, and they're just having a blast, man. Like the Netherlands, they're called L'Orange. They wear like orange is their color. They have a whole there's a whole backstory with that I won't get into politically. But whatever. The point is, here's what you need to know. If you ever go somewhere where the Netherlands are playing, there's a giant double-decker orange bus that makes it to whatever continent the World Cup is on. That bus will be there. They will be driving it all over the place, and there will be behind that bus about 100,000 people in orange just following it along, singing songs, making merriment. It's a blast.
I am loving all the videos on social media of Europeans, and not just Europeans, like, you know, Australians, people from all over the globe. Absolutely loving America.
Oh yeah.
I mean they're just, you know, a lot of it's food. I can't believe how good In-N-Out is. I can't believe how good it's like a lot of it's food, but it's not just food. Like there was a British couple saying they can't believe how nice the ocean smells. They're like, cuz in Britain anytime you're near the ocean it stinks.
Oh really?
But I've been just like vegging out watching these videos of like Europeans, mostly Europeans, just absolutely loving their time so far in America.
Well, even yesterday, Ivory Coast, or not Ivory Coast, that's they also played, that was a different game. They beat Ecuador, which is Ecuador is Columbus's team. They're training, Ecuador's training and living here. They've been staying here. This is their home base. They're training at the Cruz facilities while they're waiting for their next game, right? They lost to Ivory Coast. But no, the team I was going to talk about is, you know, we brought them up earlier. Tying Spain, the
Cape Verde.
Cape Verde. Cabo Verde. That's the word I was looking for. But yeah. Cabo Verde, like tying Spain yesterday, 0-0.
That was crazy.
The game was insane, but like all the videos of their fans celebrating. I saw one the other day where they're like, after the game, they're celebrating because this was totally unexpected. They end up like dancing and singing along, and there were police officers who are in uniform who are like, hell yeah, we're throwing ass with you. This is great. Let's do it. This is a blast. Let's have some fun. That's the World Cup. That's what it's supposed to be about. Not $1,000 tickets to get to the nosebleeds, not transit issues like in New York, where I think you have to pay $100 to take the stupid train out there and then it doesn't even run. And they had a whole bunch of massive issues with that over the weekend. Like that stuff is all the BS. The corporate crap of hydration breaks. Now they put commercials in the middle of soccer games because God forbid we let a money-making opportunity go by in the World Cup. We got to capitalize on it.
Yeah, soccer enthusiasts are not happy about that.
No.
Like, more casual fans like me, like, I don't mind the hydration breaks. And people are like, you don't need a hydration break if it's like indoors 70 degrees. I'm like, I know. They're trying to make money.
Yeah.
I know why they're doing it. It's a money grab, but like, I think a lot of American fans who are casual soccer fans don't mind it because we're so used to quarters in our sports. It kind of feels like they've broken it now into first quarter, second quarter, third quarter.
They literally have.
Yeah.
They literally turned it into four quarters.
I don't mind it, but I understand how soccer diehards like do not like it because it's completely throws off like the momentum of the game.
It does, and also if your team is like smothering the other team, it's almost like a free like timeout. Like it's like, oh no, this. It's like if in basketball, a team was just going on a 20-0 run, and then the referee's just like, oh, we're calling a timeout because we have to. Like, I guess the end of a quarter would be that. It kind of gives you a break.
Or a TV timeout.
Yeah, something like that, right?
But
like,
soccer's not supposed to have that, though. That's the whole point. A lot of people, so it doesn't bother me, but I understand why it bothers soccer diehards.
They said that Fox is making, this is from Awful Announcing, Fox is likely making upwards of $250 million on the hydration break ads during the World Cup. Okay. Well, if that's what they're doing, that's why FIFA put this in. They claimed it was for player safety.
Right.
It's not. It's totally
when you're playing indoors. It's like 70 degrees climate controlled. Yeah.
With all that being said, I've watched 0 minutes of the World Cup.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Not even. You even turn on the
USA?
Like the US is like smoking Paraguay.
See, here's what happened on Friday.
I wasn't
quite home yet, right?
Okay.
And then I'm just getting bombarded with text.
Yeah.
That they're just dominating. And I was like, all right, I don't need to watch now.
Okay.
They got off to such a fast start that I was like, I don't need to tune in.
Yeah,
it's already over.
Dylan, if you didn't watch that and they played that well, that might be the secret to why they were so good. Maybe you have to avoid now. I don't know.
I don't know the answer. Don't watch on Friday is what you're saying.
No, yeah, come to our watch party.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to talk. I'm going to talk Bone into coming too. Yeah. He's like, no, you're not.
No, you got the Hollywood Casino watch party, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Games at 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock, and they have the newest thing they have at the sports book is a beer wall where you can go up and just self serve.
Oh, I like that.
They've got like about 12 different beers. Maybe it's more than 12. Maybe it's like 20 different beers, like on tap. You just go up and self serve. You do have to pay for it.
Yes. Unless you're Scotty Vegas.
I wanted to throw that in. Unless you're Scotty Vegas. Scotty Vegas's money is not good there.
That's right. Barely not. Well, I don't know how that works then, because he gambles a lot of it, I'm guessing. So
okay,
that's why. Okay, yeah. His money's good for gambling. Yeah, they don't charge him for anything
else.
They're
like, we'll get him so drunk that he will place even more parlays than he planned on.
And have to stay in the new hotel.
Yeah. That's right. They cop your room for that, at least? I don't know. So Jake Diebler got an interesting recruit yesterday. Five-star guard LJ Smith, who was in the 2027 class, now has reclassified, apparently, and is going to join the team this year. Like this summer, he's going to forego his senior year of high school. I know that this happens. I know it's been a thing for a while, but you will still have to pause for this now old man who has to occasionally remind himself to like, oh, yeah, in 2026, it's totally common for high school athletes to be like, yeah, never mind on my senior year. I'm just going to school. Like, I'm going to college. That's it. I'm doing it. I know if you complete all your coursework, there's no reason for you to stay in college. I have a daughter in high school. I know how it works now, where once you get all those credits, there are tons of kids that are, you know, any high school you go to in the area that are like, yeah, I basically have one class that I have to do. And then the rest of the time, I'm just either goofing around or I'm not at the school. Like, I'm out. Like, I'm working a job or whatever. That's fine. Doing post-secondary work, good for you. But yeah, he's going to essentially come in here. So what does that mean for Buckeye basketball this year, Dave? That's going to be an interesting question.
Yeah, it reminds me, obviously, a few years ago of Michi Johnson doing this. Hopefully it works out better than that. And I think it will because, I mean, this young man went to Oak Hill and had a good season. When he was, we thought he was just a junior. Turns out it was technically his senior year, I guess. I think, I don't know if he's going to have a huge impact this year, but I think he's going to be at least a solid player this year. And I think he's going to have a much better career than Michi did, which is really not that difficult to accomplish.
Well, but true enough.
But yeah, I think this is a good thing for Diebler and the Buckeyes. I think they did a solid job in the portal. That's been my biggest complaint. They just have not done a good job in the portal. It's been miss after miss after miss. I think Jamison Battle might be the exception to that rule.
Yeah.
I mean, last year, the best guy they got, the highest ranked guy they got in the portal was Christoph Tilly, who was a solid player. If that's the best guy you're getting in the portal, I mean, he was 7 foot, but he played like he was like 6'5".
Yes,
you know? So I think they did a better job in the portal this year, but we'll see, man. I mean,
I messaged college basketball degenerate resident Jacob Reimer yesterday, and he said, I asked his thoughts on this, and he said, so huge gives them another elite scoring threat. It's the deepest backcourt Ohio State has had that I can remember. So he's high, and I Reimer's like 24 years old.
Well, I was gonna say Reimer, I don't mean to like Reimer also, I will say, I Reimer is usually pretty excited about lots of things in college basketball. I appreciate his hopefulness, and I hope that is accurate. I look at this. He's a 6'4 combo guard. He's 180 pounds. To your point, he averaged 16.8 points, 4 rebounds, 2.5 assists, and 1 steal a game, shooting 41% from the field, 39% behind the arc in 14 EYBL Scholastic games for Oak Hill last season. Those are like the big boy other prep schools. Oak Hill's a prep school in Virginia, if you're not familiar. He's from North Carolina, but he was pretty dominant in his North Carolina high school basketball. That's why he moved on to like a bigger prep school where he still played well. So yeah, he's playing against good competition. How will this affect Ohio State basketball next year? My concern is this, like, you still need a like number one point guard. And I don't know that they have that on this roster. If they're going to turn Junie Mobley into the point guard, that worries me. I am hopeful, though, that this guy, being, if he could become like more of an elite shooter and possibly see the floor, like, I think they're going to need that. I personally am not very high on all the transfers that are coming in, but maybe I'll be wrong. I hope I am.
I'm kind of with you. I mean, I think they did a better job than they have done in the portal. But like,
I'll believe it when I see it. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm with you.
The rankings seem good. Everything seems good. Some of these guys seem like they had some time, but yeah, I'll believe it when I see it with the transfers coming in. I'm more excited about the guys they're actually recruiting from high school. So, yeah, LJ Smith reclassifying, very interesting development for Ohio State basketball, to put it lightly. The Lunatic Fringe is alive and well at the World Cup. We'll tell you why next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there, and good Tuesday morning to you. A heads up for our friends in Delaware County. If you're making your way towards Polaris 270 and even downtown Columbus, we are seeing a crash 71 southbound passing 36. This is just outside of Sunbury, so definitely expect some lane closures for you. Also, for our friends in New Albany, still looking pretty slow this morning. No incidents to report out here, but boy, 26 miles per hour on 161 eastbound, just passing 62. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
fan.org.
The Reds are on the Fan's family of stations all season long. If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you. Your home of the Reds, the Fan, the Fan 2, and the Fan 3. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A refreshing start to the day for us with a few clouds and wake up temperatures in the 50s. And then we turn mostly sunny today and warmer with highs getting in the mid to upper 70s. For tonight, could see a few stray showers or storms. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with lows in the 50s and increasing clouds on Wednesday with highs in the low 80s. For the Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well, except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan. No, I've never heard of the band on T-Bone's shirt either. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Mugshot, for what it's worth. Go check them out. A little bit of a hardcore band. Every one of their songs is about like beating people up, so... Go have fun with that.
That's why you like it so much.
No, it's just what they're the nicest guys. I saw them play, no joke, they played Donato's Basement here in town, which Donato's on campus.
Yeah.
They have a basement, like a 200 people venue. But yeah, they played with a band called Gideon, who's all about like beating you up with pickup trucks, basically. So it's different. It's very different styles of music. Like there's pickup
beating
truck.
You up with
it's all what we would call like beat down hardcore is what we would call it. But like one of them is all like the one band is from like the South, the other band is from like the West Coast. So they just have different. Anyway, Mugshot, good, very good band. But yeah, we're burying the lead here, Biddle.
It's Hot Take Tuesday.
We have a hot take apparently from the app. Now, the Fan app, you can get it on your favorite app store. Go get it. And then hit record audio. You can leave us a hot take. Dylan, someone did this, right?
Yeah, someone actually left this after the show yesterday for us to listen to today.
Good afternoon and go to hell. My hot take is that ordering as many things delivered, groceries, Amazon stuff as possible is just pure laziness. You can always go pick it up. You can always make that time.
I like it. You know what? We were talking about how Dylan doesn't go into a grocery store now because he does everything by
Kroger pickup, baby.
Yeah, you do the pickup thing. We were talking about how you can order stuff on Amazon. Like you can get the recurring delivery of, you know, toiletries and deodorant and paper towels, whatever you get. And I was saying how I should probably set that up. It seems like that'd be good. Instead, he's saying, no, you got to go out to the store and make it happen.
Well, two things. This person could also go to hell. And
why?
Two,
I like it.
He says it's lazy. Duh. Okay. Your point? That's the convenience is the reason why you do it.
No, I get it, though. He's saying, like, what are we going to do now? Have you ever seen, did you ever see the movie WALL-E with your kids? Like, have you ever watched that one, Biddle?
I have not.
It's a Pixar movie, but it's it's like a robot that is cleaning up after humans have left the Earth because it's full of trash. Because basically we were like, we can't live on this planet anymore. And when you see the humans, because they eventually show them in this thing, like what they've become, they're on this ship that where they feed, like food comes right to them. They don't even walk around. They just float around on these little pods. And it's showing how like lazy and consumerish humans can be. And then you see what they left behind, right? It's like, I kind of, when I watched that, I was like, yeah, I probably need to walk more. I do need to get up and do, because we're headed that way where it's just everything. Put it in my face right now. Quicker the better. Give me Instacart. Give me everything right now. No waiting around, no going to the store. I understand the ethos there.
I mean, Dylan, you drive to the grocery store and then they put the groceries in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what my wife does too. So, and if you know, the few times, I mean, she actually likes taking care of it because I will mess it up probably. But if I pick up the groceries, that's what I do. That's not as bad as having them delivered to your house. You're at least getting out.
Oh, I've done it. And if it was cheaper, I would do it more.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough. I mean, I have DoorDashed along with anybody else, Uber Eats, all that stuff. I use it, but I try at least if I'm going to do a little bit of effort to drive to the fast food window to be a fat ass, as opposed to having it just also brought to me. Like, I do feel we're one step away from me saying, all right, now bring it to the house and then shove it in my face, if you don't mind. Like, can you actually hand feed it to me, because I'm so lazy. Like, there's parts where I do feel like the laziness epidemic is getting there.
With food delivery, like Grubhub or whatever it is, like DoorDash, for me, it's being cheap. It's not being lazy. Like, yeah. I will go get it.
Yeah,
I will go get it.
Because I have a car I can drive. Although now with gas, I don't know which is cheaper. Maybe it is actually cheaper to let someone else take the hit on the gas.
Like, I live in Hilliard, and we have like every fast food restaurant in the world on Hilliard Road. And if I would DoorDash one of those, it'd be like, I don't know, I'd be paying for the delivery fee, some other like service charge, the tip. I'm just like, right. How about I take 5 minutes and just drive there?
Yeah. We have a sign on our kitchen that says, if I stirred it, it's homemade. Like, that's the most like we're doing, you know what I mean? So like, Hamburger Helper is homemade. That's our level of intensity we're doing right now.
Well,
we got three kids. We're busy.
Quentin in the YouTube chat, who is a Amazon delivery driver, said, there's a special place in hell for people who order 8 25-pound containers of litter on Amazon. Remember, I know where you live.
Oh, that. Yeah. See, that I agree. There's been times where I've thought about, I could order delivery on this, but it's like, that's a heavy item. Yeah. I could drive over to the Walmart and pick it up, and that would be for me to handle. Like, there is a little bit of that. Like, I feel like, why should someone else have to bring that over if I can go get it myself? Why not? Maybe that's backwards. I don't know.
No, I think that you're just being a nice guy. And there are people out there that can't physically do it, and they're the exception to the rule of what we're talking about.
The service exists for them. Like, let them use that. But I, who can still go do that stuff, why wouldn't I go do it?
I've never seen that disclaimer in any app, though.
We're not convincing Dylan on this at all.
We live in a society. Do we want society to exist, or do we want to just break down?
We live in a society.
Right. We gotta take some personal responsibility, I feel like. All right. I saw this. If you think that college football fans are a little unhinged, or maybe your favorite NFL team, the fans are a little, you know, rough with their demands, there's a lunatic fringe going on in the World Cup right now that you should be aware of. It's the lunatic fringe. All right. By the way, this is what mugshot sounds like. Lunatic fringe, that would be for Tunisia. So they lost their first game of this World Cup. They played Sweden. They lost 5-1. They've now fired the manager after one game. Sabri Lamouchi was the manager. They've fired him. He's gone.
And they hired Torts. No, I'm kidding. Tortorella's
bringing in Torts. Well, he didn't have anything to do.
I was going
to
say.
He has to go pick up his laundry in North Carolina, and then he's got to fly over there. Or not fly. I don't know where the next game is. Maybe he could drive to it. But either way, yeah. So apparently the Tunisian Football Association announced that Mondher Kabayer will take charge on an interim basis. But apparently, Sabri Lamouchi, their former manager, lasted all of 5 games. He took over in January. He managed 4 games that they had, which were just like friendlies. And apparently, they lost badly enough in a couple of those that they were already talking before the World Cup, like, should we fire this guy or not? And then the first game happens, they lose 5-1 to Sweden, and they're like, never mind, he's gone. I appreciate this high standards. I didn't know Tunisian football rolled like that. I didn't know they thought of themselves that way.
I mean, you can't lose to Sweden 5-1. Let's go, man. That's a fireable offense.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Sweden is, I don't think, that good. I don't know where they are in soccer, but I do know that Tunisia probably is like, we shouldn't be losing 5-1 to anyone. We shouldn't. That's a high standard that I can appreciate, Biddle.
I like it.
Now, I have a bit of a hot take that is related to soccer. And I will die on this hill. You guys can argue with me all you want. It's fine. I'm here for it. I will have the debate. But I'll tell you right now, my hot take when it comes to soccer is that a tie is a valid result. Okay? I think in sports, we should embrace ties more than we do. Okay?
Gordon Gee principle.
Well,
one of the greatest victories in Ohio State history, the 1992 Ohio State-Michigan game.
See, I'm glad you got that, because I tweeted that out yesterday. I said, "This Gordon Gee thinks this is the greatest victory in Cabo Verde's history." And then, like, I got like 8 likes.
That's good.
It's from all the old people.
I wish I would have saw that.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be nine likes.
But here's the thing. Like, yesterday, Cabo Verde, they were not expected to do anything. They play Spain. Spain is expected to win like 3 or 4. I said yesterday, they'll probably win by 3 or 4 goals. Lamine Yamal will come into this game. He'll probably score. He did come into this game. He did not score, but he created a lot of chances. But they basically packed the bus. They parked the bus right in front of the goal and said, we're going to put all 11 guys behind the ball. Good luck getting through it. And for most soccer teams, when they do that, that works for a half or maybe even 75 minutes of the game. But somewhere a goal sneaks in, and then the strategy went out the window, right? Because you were trying to keep them off the board. They literally did it for 90 minutes. They shut them out for 90 minutes.
Nah, for a nil-nil game, both teams should get a loss. That's my hot take.
No, neither one of you can score. No, here's
why. You both
why.
Get a loss.
Dylan, here's why. How many times have we watched, because the NFL, even though you can tie in the NFL, right? We know that.
Technically, yeah.
Technically. But football has set up this system that allows field goals are the reason why you feel like NFL games are more competitive or whatever. There are so many ass games in the NFL where it's 10-10 in the fourth quarter. Nobody's really done anything all day. That both teams' offenses are throwing it into the stands. The defenses are fine, but the coaches are dumb. Everything sucks. It's just bad football. And then what happens in the fourth quarter? Someone gets to like the 45-yard line and is like, let's give it a shot. And they hit like a 58-yarder. And it's like, oh, we got a winner now because you got bailed out because there's a way to get points that doesn't involve the actual getting to the end zone. They do that to make sure we don't have ties. But in reality, both those teams sucked. And instead, we're celebrating like, oh, this 8-9 team beat this 9-8 team in a close. Who cares? That's worthless. Both those teams sucked. They should have got a tie. Instead, we give them a free get out of tie card by giving them field goals. That's the only reason that exists.
You just described like every Browns loss I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yes, as a Browns fan, there's so many times we did not deserve anything out of a game, and a lot of times we don't get it. I'm just saying there's been plenty of ties where the Browns at least deserved a tie, I guess, because the other team was bad too, but they had a better field goal kicker. Say you don't have that in soccer. In soccer, you actually have to go score a touchdown, essentially. There's no like, well, he kicked it over the crossbar, so we gave him like half a goal. Like, no, you have to actually score. You have to actually get to the end zone. That's what soccer has. In some games, the defense is like, we're not letting you get in. I think it was a great performance yesterday for Cape Verde, but I'm just telling you, tie, I think, is a valid result. You want to argue with that? You can. At Bone and Tyvus 971. We'll come back. A big honor for one of our favorite coaches next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
In our south side, just outside of Obetz, the right shoulder is blocked on 270 eastbound at Alum Creek Drive. So expect some slight delays for your early morning commute out there. Also for our friends just outside of Canal Winchester, 33 between Gender Road and 270 is looking at a 5-minute commute. Gets a whole lot better, though, closer towards that 33 and 270 split. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
com. T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Two men, one appendix. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
Tweet the program at Bone and Tyvus 971. Apparently in YouTube land, they don't like what I said about Ty's Dylan.
They're big mad.
That's all right. They can be mad. I'm telling you, like, yesterday all four World Cup games ended in a tie. I think that if you watch some of those games, there was totally valid reasons why that occurred. It was neither team deserve a win. Sometimes I think a win should have to be earned. It shouldn't be given to you by default because, well, someone has to win this damn game and we'll play 18 overtimes to get there. No, sometimes both teams just were not good enough to win the game. And that's totally fair. Or in the case of the Cape Verde, Cabo Verde game where they played Spain, that country felt like they won because they shut out Spain, which is a monumental achievement. So I'm tie is a perfectly valid result.
Well, LW said that's loser talk.
Ready to go. And
Mario's 2002 national championship, tie it up. Yeah.
No, that's obviously they don't do ties when it gets to the knockout rounds. They have a way to settle. You have to have a winner at some point. But in the regular season, essentially, of games, there are times where it's like, yeah, I mean, the NHL could have ties, quite honestly. We have to do all this. You know, we have to play 3-on-3 hockey. We have to have shootouts just because.
Well, they did have ties like 20 years ago.
We gotta have a winner. It's like, we don't. Right. I would rather them just say, all right, we play three periods. You can play a quick overtime. If it doesn't work out, fine. It's a tie. Like, sometimes neither team deserves to win. And yet we just have to. I think when it's not to determine a championship, you can just have a third cat. We have it in the NHL. We have wins, losses, and then what's the third one? overtime wins.
I don't like that you get a point for a loss. I know it's an overtime loss. I don't like that rule in hockey.
I'm just saying, you're pretty much there anyway. Just give it for a tie. Just like, we don't have to have the BS shootout, which is not, is that how hockey is played? One-on-one? Like, no. Imagine if an NBA game ended like that, where it's like, all right, we're just going to have like Victor Wembanyama and I don't know, OG Anunoby go one-on-one for here for a minute. Let's see what happens.
Oh, man, like, that'd be dope.
It was like the Olympics.
Yes, but it's not basketball. It's not five-on-five basketball.
It was like the Olympics one year.
We have to have a winner. Every game has to have a winner. It's just, it's silly to me.
Remember, it was USA versus, I think they were under Russia. Maybe it was like they couldn't like use the name Russia at the time, but goalie Bob was the goalie. And TJ Oshie had like 12 straight. Like,
yes.
I didn't even know at the time you were allowed to use the same guy over and over and over and over and over again. It was like he had like 12 different like.
But I get it.
Shots.
If it's like, hey, we're going for a gold medal here. All right. Yeah. You have to have a winner. But like literally outside of those situations where you're trying to determine the playoff type of situation. Yeah. You can have a season where you just like in soccer, I think it's fine that like sometimes the game just ends 2-2. That's just how it went. Both teams get a point. They move on. Neither team deserved to win. I think that's a total, like, I'm just saying that makes sense in the regular season to me. But
I just remember in seventh grade, the football team had tied and I had asked one of the players afterwards, or I said like good game or something like that. He's like, oh, we tied and a tie is like kissing your sister.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, that's
never. I never liked that, that analogy.
But again, the point here is I'm not saying anybody should enjoy a tie over a win, but I'm saying sometimes neither team earned a win. Let's stop giving away wins because, like, well, we got to do it. So I don't know who can do the better cartwheels. Like, we just come up with dumb contests at the end. Baseball, it's like, give them a ghost runner. Someone has to get a hit and win. I don't know. Like, they'll play before the ghost runner. We're playing 18, 19 innings to find.
I like the ghost runner.
Just end it and say these teams suck tonight. It's 2-2 and that's it. Go home and go to bed. We'll try again tomorrow. I got 161 more. Try to get some W's out here.
Where are you at on the ghost runner? I wouldn't want it in the playoffs, but 162 regular season games, you're playing an 18 inning game and you blow out your bullpen. Like, I know a lot of baseball purists don't like the ghost runner. I think that was a good rule change.
Yes, I don't like the ghost runner, but my point is,
you can just,
because baseball purists want to go to 18 innings, and I'm like, no, you can just admit that this game was tonight, nobody had it. Yeah. And then it's just, that's it.
Yeah, that's what they do in like spring training.
Yes, right. Because everyone acknowledges like, oh, okay, they just didn't have it today. Both these teams were mediocre. No one got, I think a win should be earned. Like, I think the real loser talk is being like, well, someone's got to be able to win this game somehow. College football, let's have 19 fake triple overtime where you have to, like, now everybody has to go for two. And we have to, like, you have to find a way to win. It's like, or just admit both these teams were bad. Like, they couldn't get the job done.
Here's my hot take. I don't like college football's overtime system. I don't like the fact that you start the drive in field goal range. And it's not like a crazy field. It'd be a 42-yard field goal if you get no yards. Yes. Or a 43-yard field goal.
Well, for usually Ohio 17 State yards. Kickers, that over the years would be like, that's impossible.
Connor Hawkins can do that in his sleep.
Now I got the Baylor kid here, yeah.
I mean, I know he missed one in the spring game.
No, don't worry about that.
That was wind-aided.
Yeah.
But seriously, I think what they need to do is, I've always said this, like, how about start at midfield? You at least have to get at least one first down.
You should have
down
to earn something.
Yes. Allow,
yes, this is my point.
Yes, yes.
We have to earn something as opposed to just being like, well, here we go. We're going to set it up so that someone, please God, score. You couldn't score all game, but now we're literally like, well, why don't we put them on the 2-yard line and just be like, I don't know. Right. What if we made the defense have 8 players? Would that help you? Like, it's like we're trying to give teams a chance to score because we have to see a score to win the game. And I'm saying, I like how soccer in the games that don't settle a title, they will just say, all right, both these teams kind of, this is all you got. This is the best they could do. We're not going to pretend like we should go for 3 days trying to find a goal here. Let's just let it end in a tie. And it is.
Also, in college football and overtime, they need to stop keeping stats. Well, don't tell me that Hawaii's quarterback threw for 9 touchdowns.
Oh, that's
three
a good
of them
point.
That is overtime.
Absolutely
that
right.
Is true.
That is absolutely right, Dylan. That's not a hot take, but sure.
It's probably like a touchdown reception where he just pitched it forward.
Yes.
Like a Paris Campbell style, like a little jet sweep. And
exactly
you get,
right.
Dwayne Haskins gets a credit for a touchdown pass.
So I saw that our guy, James Laurinaitis, you know, linebackers coach here at Ohio State, obviously formerly worked here, legendary college and NFL career, all the above.
The best part of his career was working here, though.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Ohio that's, State that's career, what, playing, that was okay. NFL, long NFL career, Rams all-time leading tackler. Yeah. Now maybe the best linebackers coach in college football. Mm. But it was his time here at the Fan.
Well, apparently Ryan Day was telling a group of recruits who were on their official visits a few weeks ago that let the cat out of the bag a little bit, that James Laurinaitis is going to be ringing the victory bell on September 26th at the home game versus Illinois. He was selected as after, you know, he's getting his induction to the College Football Hall of Fame later this year, which is another honor that he fully deserves. But, yeah, good to see that he's going to get to ring the victory bell, I guess.
That's really cool. Yeah, I know a lot of fans, myself included, when I first heard they're going to do the victory bell before games. Like, but I do like the idea of bringing guys like Archie, you know, and James Laurinaitis to ring the victory bell. I do like that part of it. And let me ask you this, T-Bone. Hopefully, if you like Ryan Day, Ryan Day is going to be here many, many years. When Ryan Day eventually steps away, I have a feeling James Laurinaitis might be the next head coach at Ohio State.
He certainly has every opportunity for that, you would think, to happen, right? If he continues to be here, I could see eventually, perhaps at some point in the future, a coordinator position being there for him if that ever comes available. And then if that happens, then you're based. Yeah, I mean, I think Ryan Day is probably aware of that situation. You know what I mean? Whatever Ryan Day is going to do with the rest of his career, if he stays here for another 10 plus years, maybe in a few years he scratches the NFL itch, who knows? But whatever that time comes, whatever does happen there, if James is still here, yeah, you would think that that would be a great opportunity. I think a lot of Buckeye fans would be very excited about that. I certainly would be, because I think, again, I don't want to see Ryan Day leave anytime soon. I'm just, it's good to have guys in the wings who you think would be awesome head coaches. James Laurinaitis absolutely fits that bill.
Yeah, when you talk to James and he's in front of the media, or even if you talk to him like off the record, he just has that head coach vibe to him. That eventually, I don't know if it's going to be here, but eventually he will be a head coach, and I hope it's here.
Yeah,
I hope Ryan Day stays for a long time, but yeah, I get the feeling like we're putting like betting odds who's going to be the next head coach at Ohio State. My number one would be James Laurinaitis. Unless Ryan Day, like, let's say they win a title and he rides off in the sunset. I don't know if James is ready right now for it, but, you know, if it's like 5 years from now or something like that, I think he might be.
Well, the name of the game in college football, as much as anything, is roster building through recruiting and getting people to buy in from the booster side of things, especially in the NIL era. Mm-hmm. I don't think James Laurinaitis would have a problem in either of those areas.
No, sir.
If the opportunity came, especially around here. All right, a Buckeye recruit said something I think is absolutely wild. We have to determine if we believe if it's true, if it really happened or not. We'll play the audio next. T-Bone and Tyvus with Dave Biddle on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Boy, slowdowns are really forming this morning, especially on the east side. Right now, we are taking a live look 70 in that westbound direction in between State Route 256 by Reynoldsburg. And as you're heading towards 70 and 270, especially over by Bryce Road, that's where we're seeing those delays this morning. No incidents, but be careful out there. The only crash we're really seeing is in Delaware County, still 71 southbound, just passing 36. That left lane is currently closed. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.com.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube, along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bose sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. When Tyvus looks at Bone, he sees the future. Bald, fat, white. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
YouTube chat is still fired up. Mario in the chat said, Bone, you would never celebrate a tie. Lies. One, I have. I mean, I, as a soccer fan, they happen. And I've had moments where I'm like, oh, that was a... Crew got down 2-0 in this game and then came back with two late goals to tie it up. That feels pretty good. I'll tell you this. The people from Cape Verde, Cabo Verde yesterday going 0-0 with Spain, you should go watch the videos of all them. They were celebrating a tie because it was thought they were going to lose that game 4-5. There was no chance they were going to be in that game. Even the announcers at halftime were like, folks, the fact they kept it scoreless for 45 minutes, whatever, like they were assuming, oh, they're going to give up three goals in this second half and Spain's going to roll. But don't, this first half was really good by Cabo Verde. They're trying to like give them credit for what they did. For them to go a full 90 shutting out Spain, That is absolutely a win for that country and for that team. No doubt about it.
No doubt about it. I mean, and they were celebrating rightfully so, like they won. And if you're a fan of the United States men's national team, what if next Thursday, when they're playing Turkey, going to that game, all they need is a tie to win the group?
Yeah, to like
that would be awesome.
Yes, if they as much as I'd like to see, I'd like to see my team, the U.S. national team, win by 4 goals every time.
Yes.
They won 4-1, not enough. I want more. Like, I get it, okay? But
to win the group stage, yeah.
Yeah, like if you amass points, it's whatever. I know I'm in the minority on this. I will die on this hill. A tie is sometimes a valid result. And I promise you, there's a lot of games in the NFL every year that should end in ties because they're just. But because we can kick, like, you can find a kicker with a big leg who can bail you out of otherwise a terrible game and you can win it 9-6. Great. Congratulations. No team deserved to win that game. Nobody was playing well that day. Just so happened that you had two kickers who could actually kick field goals. That's about it. So I'm fine with that.
We're way in the weeds now with soccer. So now I got to ask you a NASCAR question just ruin everything.
There we go.
Why would you ask me a NASCAR question based on soccer?
John Berger in the chat said NASCAR overtime is just trash. So what the hell is overtime in NASCAR?
Well, I guess I'm one of the few people in media who can go from soccer takes to NASCAR takes. John is correct.
I can help you out.
Go ahead. You've got it. Yeah, no. You know some NASCAR.
So if the race ends on a caution, then they have an overtime.
Yeah, if they get to the end of the race where it's like, let's say, 2 laps to go and a car wrecks, rather than finishing under a caution, they'll say, well, we're going to clean up the wreck. Everybody can go to the pits, get whatever tires, fuel they need. And then they're going to go to overtime, which is like you get the green flag. If they make it all the way back around without anybody else wrecking, the next flag will be the white flag, which means 1 lap to go. And then after that white flag is thrown, whatever happens, whoever's in the lead at the end of that lap will be the winner.
And it often screws the guy who has led for most of the race or was leading the last 20 laps. And all of a sudden, with 2 laps to go, someone crashes and they have to do like this overtime. And now if your guy wins in overtime, you like it. If your guy was leading the entire race and then gets screwed, you don't like it.
But this is a product of this is more like the Elam ending in basketball, where it's like, not only can we not, we have to have a winner. We have to have a game winning buzzer beating shot to win the game. Like, that's what NASCAR now is doing, is like, we have to have this finish under under green with two guys right there battling it out at the end. Even if one guy was out ahead by like 3 seconds, nope, we got to bunch everybody back up and then give all those guys a chance to sneak a win. And it's just, I hate it. It's contrived. Sometimes one guy is just dominant in a NASCAR race. Sometimes in a game. Imagine that if you were like watching an NFL game and for the entirety of the game, for 3 quarters, this other team was up 28-3. I guess we have seen that. But imagine that if like in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes to go, they were like, well, we know it's 28-3, but let's give the other team 25 points. And now it's tied and let's see who wins for the final 2 minutes. That's essentially what NASCAR does. They're like, yes, this other team is dominating, but now we're going to let everybody catch up to them and see what they can do because we want to have a big, exciting ending. And that is absolute trash. I agree with whoever said that in the chat. John, thank you, John.
Thanks for explaining that, Biddle, but that's absolutely stupid.
It is stupid, and it's, yes, contrived. I want actual excitement. I want actual game-winning shots that matter. I don't want contrived BS. You know what I mean? I want the real stuff to happen. All right, this is a quote from a Buckeye recruit, Jameer Brown, 5-star wide receiver recruit, okay? Is he the 2027 class?
Yes.
Okay. So he was at some, I'm not sure exactly where he was. It looked like he was at some kind of camp or some situation like that. He's not in football clothing. He's in regular clothing, but he's being interviewed by a couple guys on the internet. That's literally all I can tell you about them. I don't know what outlet they were from. They don't appear to be like your traditional day. They didn't look like most of our traditional bloggers out there. They looked like a couple young kids who just had a camera and a microphone and were like, what's going on with this big time recruit, right? They asked him about the wildest recruiting stories that he has as a big time 5-star recruit. And he claims a school offered a pretty interesting inducement to come to their university.
But a couple of schools has offered a couple females out for me to commit to that school.
Okay. If you didn't catch that, he said a couple schools have offered, quote, a couple females to commit to their school. I'm just going to say it. I don't believe you.
I don't believe him either.
I don't believe that happened. I believe I don't believe that happened.
Have you guys not seen He Got Game when they offered Jesus Shuttlesworth two white girls to commit to their school? Did you not watch the
movie? I have seen He Got I have seen that movie.
I actually just watched it for the first time the other day.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You've never seen it before?
Nope.
What'd you think of Ray Allen's performance there as Jesus Shuttlesworth?
I thought it was great. I don't know why he hasn't gotten more acting gigs.
I thought it was great,
especially
too.
In retirement. Maybe they should do a sequel.
Yeah, He Got Game it's one of my all-time favorite movies just because of the fact of what we know Ray Allen actually became.
But yeah.
Back to this like question of getting offered, quote, one, you said female, like that's just such a weird way to phrase that also, but whatever.
And they were going to give him two females.
What are we talking? Like, all right.
You watched He Got Game, it's not that exact situation.
What happened. He probably watched He Got Game and said, that basically happened to me. I don't know. Like, one, that's fiction. He Got Game is not a real story. It's a fictional story. Two, if that occurred, then tell someone in authority that literal institutions of higher learning are offering female students to the football players. I feel like that would probably incur some lawsuits as well. If that's actually
this in Louisville with Rick Pitino.
No. Technically, no. That's wrong. Now, let's be clear. What Rick Pitino did was hired strippers to dance for recruits at Billy Minardi Hall, which, if you're not familiar with it, was named after his brother-in-law who died in 9/11. So that's what Rick Pitino did. That's the dirtbag stuff he did. But even as bad as that was and should not be done, that's not him saying, you're a chem major? All right, come over here. You're hot. And you are in the poetry department. Come on over. We got a football recruit, a basketball recruit who we want to get on campus. And I'm going to give you, you're both female, right? Okay. I'm going to give both of you to him. I don't know if you know this. That's called human trafficking. So we're not going to be making accusations that schools are human trafficking. However, if they are, to Jameer Brown, if that is what was done, please report that to the authorities. That's all I'm going to say. Sounds more like, I don't know, Biddle, maybe a big time high school recruit kind of just saying stuff to say stuff.
I think that's exactly what it is. By the way, he transferred from Wayne. He's going to be at Big Walnut for his senior year.
Oh, shout out to Big Walnut. There you go. So he'll be playing in Columbus this year. Yeah. So you can go out and watch his games if you want to.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it sounded like, could it be that someone wearing a shirt of a school when you were on a recruiting visit was like, you know that you're going to be very popular with the ladies if you come here. Like, I don't doubt that happens. I don't doubt that former players have told you like, hey, I met someone or what. Like, fine. I get all that. Let's not pretend like schools, like, yes, hi, part of your recruiting, your NIL package includes, like, there's no way that is what's happening.
Yeah, it's in writing.
What are we talking about?
Plus, you get two females.
Like, what? Two females?
That's included in the contract?
That's so weird. Such a weird, that's so bizarre. Brennan Sorsby is not going to play college football this year. He'll be entering the supplemental draft. Should the Browns take a look at him? We'll talk about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Getting really slow moving for our friends just outside of Grove City. We're talking 71 in that northbound direction over towards Greenlawn Avenue as you're heading downtown. Definitely expect those delays, as I mentioned, but at least a lot better for our friends from the north side traveling downtown. We're talking 315, only a 3-minute commute out there between 270 and Bethel Road. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
thing. Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. Texas Tech quarterback Brendan Sorsby intends to enter the 2026 NFL Supplemental Draft. The decision comes amid a Big 12 lawsuit and a June 22nd deadline to enter the draft. The last one took place in 2023. On the diamond, the Reds won big over the Mets 12-0 last night. Cincinnati will try to do it again tonight against New York. Coverage starts just after 6 over on The Fan 2. The Guardians will be back in action after a couple days off. They'll start a series in Milwaukee versus the Brewers. First pitch for that one is scheduled for 7. 40. And five-star guard LJ Smith announced yesterday he will reclassify to the 2026 class and play for the Basketball Buckeyes this upcoming season. This update is sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take strokes off your game by taking pounds off your frame with Awaken 180 Weight Loss results this summer. The solution for weight loss, awaken180weightloss.com. Breaking sports news right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
If it's 4:30 in the morning and you see a ginger version of Dom DeLuise speeding down 33, don't panic. It's just T-Bone.
We are driving. We are driving.
We like driving. We like driving.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tybus.
We are eating.
We are eating.
It's amazing. We're talking about Dave Biddle is in for both Tybus and Joshua Perry. Joshua's off today and tomorrow. He'll be back Thursday. Tybus will be back on Monday. We were talking about being parents of kids in this day and age, right? Where you've got kids who are one in college, one in high school, right? And we have the same thing. Our oldest is in high school. We have the Life 360. We have the tracking thing where you can like see where your kids are and kind of have an idea. And that, especially when you have older kids who are starting to drive or they've got friends who drive, it's like good to know where they are, right? But I think about that now, Dave, with like how if suddenly tomorrow that all went away, now that I've become reliant on it as a parent, I would be freaked out if they took that, or if like Mike, if we decided not to have that service or whatever, that would be like, oh my God, my kid's just out there in the wild. And I think my parents had no cell phones to get a hold of us. No tracking of us. They didn't know anything about where we were. We told mom and dad, hey, I'm going to a friend's house. They had to be like, okay, I hope that's true. Good luck.
Our kids missed the golden years, man.
Oh, man.
The golden age. My goodness, yeah. I mean, I can't imagine going back in high school and college and my parents knowing where I was at all times. Right. That's weird. And even though my daughter was a freshman at OU this past year, my wife could still see at all times where she was through the iPhone.
Sure.
Now, if I'm my oldest daughter, I would have blocked that at some point. But she never did.
Well, there might be times where she left the phone in the dorm room and then went to, you know, go hang out with I don't know. Like, I mean, that stuff could happen. There's ways to get around it, I'm sure. But no, I realize now, like, I'm so used to having a cell phone that if I were to, I drove as a high school student and even after high school places across state lines. No cell phone.
Right.
Like, just knew kind of where I was going, had a paper map or printed out MapQuest. That was like the high tech thing to do back when I was in high school. It's like, I got on my little printer and printed off directions, had them in the car next to me in case I couldn't remember which exit to get off on 70.
Oh, for sure.
Now I literally use the directions app to get home from here just because I want to know if the traffic's going to be bad. Like, yes. I'll hit it. I'll put it on just to be like, oh, we got red lines on 270. I'm going a different way.
That's right. Smart.
Yeah. But like, but still now I feel naked if I just don't have my cell phone running around.
I know.
Let alone now we got tracking apps and everything else. Like, it's mind boggling to think that many of us survived pre-cell phone era and just lived our lives and didn't even, my parents' generation, like, no one was tracking them. No way to, they couldn't keep track of the kids. Their parents couldn't keep track. Like, it's,
they also had like 10 of them at that time. Well, everyone had them.
So there were like a couple spares.
If we lose one,
yeah,
really. More. No, but I was thinking about this the other day. When I was 9, I used to ride my bike all over the mean streets of Pataskala by myself.
Oh, yeah.
I have right. a 7-year-old. There is no way in hell in 2 years from now I'm going to be like, okay, get on your bike and I'll see you later.
Yeah, see you tonight. Like, nah, you just leave the house and I'll see you tonight. Go play with your friends. But then again, society was set up differently too, right? Like, going back to the no cell phone thing, if like at one, I have a car now that I trust to get me from point A to point B, but I'm sure, Dave, you had this. I definitely had cars that it's like, oh, every once in a while it just goes out on you and you just are stuck. But back then, it would be like, well, then I guess I'll have to go find a payphone and I'll have quarters in my little coin thing in my car. I'll grab a quarter. I'll go call someone because I know their phone number. Now, if I was out stranded, I don't know anyone's number because everyone's name is in my phone. Yeah. I don't remember anyone's number other than maybe my wife's phone number. And where would I find a payphone? I'd have to go find someone else with a cell phone and say, can I please use your phone to then misremember my family's numbers where they won't get their number, right? And then I won't get a hold of them.
I'll be in my car.
It's a different situation.
I'll get in my car and just to pick up something. Let's say I'm picking up food or something like that, and I don't have my cell phone on me. I'll be like, oh, I gotta go get my cell phone. Why? Yeah. I don't really need it. I don't really, and I survived for many, many years without a cell phone driving. Well, but now it's like, it'd be one thing if I grew up always having a cell phone. The fact that we grew up not having it all the way, when did I get my first cell phone? Like late in college, I think. So I lived more than 20 years without a cell phone. And feels like I'm naked now when I don't have which is weird because for so many years I didn't need one. If I grew up knowing nothing else, that would make more sense to me.
I even remember growing up like in the late 90s, early 2000s, when my parents first got a cell phone, they shared it and they didn't take it everywhere. It was like, oh, we're just going down the street, leave the cell phone at home.
Yes.
Oh, we're going to a different state, maybe take the cell phone there.
The family cell phone is such a very time-coded thing. Yes. If your family had it, because we had that when I was driving. So if I would go somewhere after like a certain point in life, there was a time where my parents were like, hey, you're going not like to my grocery store job down the street or not to like school, but if I'm going to see a friend like... We lived on the southeast side, so if I was going up to Westerville, right, that's like halfway around 270, take the phone with you. You never know.
Put it in the glove box.
Yes, put it in the glove. Don't let anybody know that you have it,
right?
But it's there, and it was literally the one that flipped out the bottom. The bottom part flipped out, and then it had the extendable, it was a brick, essentially. The extendable antenna would come out. Like, it was...
And it was probably like $100 if you made a call.
Oh, gosh. Yes. Yeah. And there's no programmed in numbers. It was just right. Like having a pay phone, except it was just in your car. But like, I didn't know how to charge it, have a car charger for myself. I didn't know what that was. That was never a thing. Now it's like, that's just how we live. Very different lives, but that's okay. I saw Brendan Sorsby is entering the NFL supplemental draft. This is presumably because the Big 12 and the NCAA both filed suit yesterday or put in legal briefings saying, hey, Texas, if you try to stop us from enforcing Big 12 bylaws against Texas Tech, we'll go to court over it and we'll literally claim First Amendment protections and we'll claim interstate commerce law. And I think that was enough that got Texas Tech to go, man, what are we doing? Is this worth it? Suddenly, Brendan Sorsby has a change of heart and decides now he's not going to play college football. So he is entering the supplemental draft. The deadline for him to make that decision would be next Monday, June 22nd. So he clearly saw the writing on the wall that at the very least is going to be a legal mess. And even if he gets a chance to play, it's probably going to be down to the 11th hour. Or he could just opt out of college and go to the pros, which is apparently what he's doing here. So thoughts on any of that, Biddle, including should a team take a flyer on him?
The whole thing has been fascinating to me. And I'm glad he's not going to be playing college football this year, because if we're going to let a kid bet on his team and still play... Whether or not he was betting on them to win, but there were a couple times he bet on the under for passing yards when he was at Indiana. That would have been really bad for the sport. I mean, it's almost like no rules exist anymore, but that's the one cardinal rule that, the Cardinals sin. You can't bet on your own team. You can't bet on your own team. And so I'm glad he's not able to play. Now I'm fascinated to see where he goes in the supplemental draft. I don't think anybody's going to use a first-round pick on him. If I had to bet, I bet he'll go in the third round. Second round, you could talk me into.
I enjoy the irony, by the way, of you saying "if I had to bet." That's I like that a lot.
Oh gosh, I wish that was intentional. I should lie and say it was. It was not, because I mean, let's say a team thinks he is a second round talent, but you've got all this baggage. The Art Schleister, situation is probably creeping in a lot of minds.
The NFL may come in and say, that's cool. We don't like it when people gamble on sports. We're going to punish that player. And by the way, they have antitrust protection, so. Good luck. You can't sue them for that. That's a hard and fast rule they can make in their league because they have all the legal protections to do it, unlike the NCAA.
And the idea that, well, the NFL can't suspend him because he didn't break any of their rules. Well, that logic didn't apply to Terrell Pryor and Jim Tressel.
I was just going
to
say, ask Jim Tressel about that.
I mean, that was Goodell. And I bet he's not going to do anything. But I am fascinated to see where he goes in this draft, because all it takes is one. And maybe there will be a team that, like your Browns. I really don't think it's going to be the Browns.
Nope. Browns
I'm sure Jimmy Haslam, that went through his mind when he saw, supplemental draft.
Oh.
I'm sure he at least was thinking,
Here's the thing about the Browns and Jimmy Haslam specifically, but I think it's everybody up there in Berea. They love a shortcut. They really do. They don't know how to see a plan through and actually do the right thing and build something. What they love to do is take flyers. So they paid more than anybody for Deshaun Watson, who had what? Baggage. Before he ever got there, before they ever signed that contract, there was a reason why he wasn't playing due to injuries, and then also there was concerns about when he gets back, is he going to be suspended by the NFL? He was. They knew it. In fact, they changed his deal around, remember, because they knew he was going to get probably some kind of suspension, took all the money out of the first year of his deal. That's why they're still paying on it now. That's why it's still way worse now cap-wise with dead money, was because of how they structured it to get him around what the league was going to do to him when he started playing again. So they took a chance there. It obviously blew up in their face. They have taken a chance with drafting not one, but two quarterbacks, Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders, a couple years, you know, last draft season, right? And that so far has not worked out. Maybe it will. I'm just saying, a team like the Browns loves to try to get, oh, maybe this will be our magic bullet. Maybe this will fix everything. If we could just get this, they would profile as a team that would take a chance on someone like Brandon Sorsby. They should be the last team thinking of doing that. The team that should take Brandon Sorsby should have quarterback stability.
I'm happy for you that they took that quarterback in the sixth round, because if they didn't take him,
Taylen Green, yes,
Taylen Green. I bet you that Jimmy would be taking Sorsby probably. I wouldn't use more of like any higher than a third round pick on him though.
No, there's, for all the upside he has of a big arm and all that stuff, he has nowhere near the production. People compare him to Pat Mahomes. It's like, go look at their production in college. It's not even comparable. Like, he could be a good college. He could be something less than Pat Mahomes and still be a very good NFL quarterback. The amount of film that you watch on him when you go actually look at his game tape, yeah, he's got some flashes. He looks like he can make a few plays. He also has some wildly bad mistakes. He cannot read defense as well. I don't think his athleticism is going to translate as well to the NFL as some other guys. And he's got a lot of work to do before he's a viable NFL quarterback.
And the 0-11 record in November. He's 0-11 in November as a starting quarterback.
Yeah. Another NHL team is trying to make life rough on some Blue Jackets. We'll tell you about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and welcome to your Tuesday. If you're traveling on 315 northbound towards places like Worthington and Lindworth, a big warning for you this morning. We are seeing a crash on 315 northbound just passing Bethel Road, but right before you're heading towards 161. Expect some lane closures and some major delays this morning. Don't like to see this traffic jam over by Bethel Road. Just cars on cars this morning. About a 6-minute delay so far for your commute. About 6 miles per hour in certain portions on 315. Well, I'm Penn TV's Brianna Albizu with your
Morning Juice is now on YouTube. Weekday morning starting at 6. If you're a fan of Bobby Carpenter, he's ready to attack and dominate. If you're a fan of Jeff Gutoff, drive directly to a hospital. Seriously. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A refreshing start to the day for us with a few clouds and wake-up temperatures in the 50s, and then we turn mostly sunny today and warmer with highs getting in the mid to upper 70s. For tonight, could see a few stray showers or storms, otherwise mostly cloudy with lows in the 50s, and increasing clouds on Wednesday with highs in the low 80s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Bo Bishop is a media legend. We have no idea where the other guys came from. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan. Both of these men love the Browns. Also, both of these men hate the Browns. If you know, you know. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
Saw a few people in the YouTube chat bringing up landing spots for Brennan Sorsby, the former Cincinnati and Indiana quarterback who was going to play at Texas Tech, but now appears to be entering the supplemental draft. Maybe the Cowboys would be a landing spot for him. I mean, Dak Prescott is clearly ensconced as the starter. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You need a guy. He needs a place to develop and play for a few years behind a good quarterback. That's not a terrible idea. Jerry Jones wouldn't mind making a splash. And, of course, there's a lot of people in Texas who become very familiar with his game who would probably be excited, who are probably also Cowboys fans. But I want to see him there.
That definitely sounds like something Jerry Jones would do. And you're right. Is Cooper Rush still their backup quarterback? I'm trying to look this up as we speak.
I forget. It could be. That could be the case.
There's two places that stick out in my mind. Because to me, I think he is going to go with the second round pick, but not like a top 40 type pick. It'd be like a top 50 or top 60 type pick. So to me, it's like a playoff team.
Yeah.
That maybe the future of their quarterback position isn't quite solidified. I said the Buccaneers earlier because Baker's contract is up after this year. And then also a team like the Detroit Lions with Jared Goff. That's a quarterback that makes a bunch of money. He has void years at the end of his deal that maybe the Lions are like, you know what? We don't want these years at the end of Jared Goff's deal. Let's just do like a red shirt type deal with Brendan Sorsby this year.
It may be more than 1 year red shirting, by the way, like for him. I'm not convinced that he's just this can't miss NFL prospect.
Well, but. Let me ask you, Bone, you seem pretty down on him. Would you have been surprised if he would have ended up having like a Fernando Mendoza type year? Like, I'm not saying did you expect it, but would it have been shocking to you if he would have came in, played well, and then they would have went on a run to the national championship, and then he would have like a bona fide first round grade in next year's draft in a hypothetical world where none of this stuff happened?
Yeah, I would have. But here's the thing. I'm overly cynical about most college quarterbacks because we just saw it last offseason where it was like, oh my God, you Cade Klubnik, man, get ready for him when he comes out.
Right.
Oh, Garrett Nussmeier, line him up, top five pick, can't miss guy. Just go watch him put the tape on. It'll be great. And then last year they had seasons that were for a variety of different reasons, right? Garrett Nussmeier had injuries. Cade Klubnik, I don't know exactly all the reasons, but he just didn't look like himself. Like some of these players that were thought to be top five can't miss guys in the 2026 draft didn't get to Drew Aller, another one of them. These guys didn't pan out.
Arch Manning
was going to come out this year. This is going to be his swan song. Now he had to come back for another year because everybody saw he's not a finished product yet. I just feel like to then look at Brendan Sorsby, who people say, well, give him better weapons, put him in a better, you know, situation. He could take steps as a player. That is part of growth that you get in college football. He may have had that type of year. He also may have had a year more like some of those guys I just mentioned.
True.
And I'm saying to automatically assume, oh yeah, he just comes in and fixes a quarterback problem. I don't think anybody with a brain in the NFL is going to think that. They might think like what you're talking about, Dylan, that he's got potential, got a big arm. We can work with the other stuff. We'll get him right. But it's going to take a few years to get him to be that project because he's not going to have a year of college football to do that. And they probably have a quarterback, whatever team is going to take him, that demands their focus now. An offense that's already going with a different quarterback. I don't think the situation for him is to go to a place that needs him to start in September. That'd be bad.
The Cowboys make a ton of sense. I just looked it up. So their backup quarterback situation is between Joe Milton, former Michigan and
Another
Tennessee.
Guy with a huge arm.
Yeah. Huge arm. And Sam Howell.
Okay, they totally just, forgot about
they
Sam
traded
Howell.
For, they traded a third-day draft pick for Milton, and they signed Howell as a free agent.
Okay.
You know what? That makes a lot of sense for Sorsby right there. I could see Jerry Jones doing that. He'd be the one I could see burning a second-round pick. I wouldn't burn a second-round pick. I might, if you really, really were convinced that one day Sorsby's going to be a good NFL quarterback, I'd use a third-rounder on him. I don't know if I'd go any higher than that. But yeah, Cowboys, that makes a lot of sense. Good call by the chat.
I just don't think you bring in the circus if you're just going to use him as a backup quarterback. Like, you
Jerry loves the circus.
Though. I think that's true.
But the circus part of it, though, all the circus was like, will he or won't he play in college? Now the answer is no, he won't. So, like,
well, okay, why was Tim Tebow a circus? He didn't do anything.
Tim Tebow was popular. No, but but Brandon Sorsby, come on. Brandon Sorsby has nowhere near the cachet that Tim Tebow did
what about, like,
at the time that he came out.
A lot of people don't like that Shador Sanders is on the Browns roster because it's like, oh, is his production worth all the distraction that he brings?
But the distraction,
neither of those guys bring any of those attention among themselves. It just comes with the territory.
Well, one, I do think Shador Sanders and Deion Sanders do invite some of the attention, good, bad, or otherwise. Like, they're not opposed to it, is my point, right?
Yeah.
Shador Sanders literally had a YouTube channel that was very popular, Instagram. Like, he's on social media for a reason. Tim Tebow also is not afraid of, like, making waves and talking about things other than football that get people to pay attention to him, and that is part of his brand too. Brendan Sorsby, I literally know nothing about other than he gambled on football, which is bad and not a good thing to be known for. But in the NFL, if he's gonna, like, there's an arc, a career arc for him that involves him, like, basically going radio silent for the next year, being supplemental drafted somewhere. And then you pretty much don't hear about him other than seeing him at camp. And he probably sits down, does one interview with, like, I'm trying to even think who the guy would be, like a Jeremy Schapp type. Who is that now? Like Tom Rinaldi, I guess, a better example, where he'll sit down and be like, yeah, man, I went through hell and it really took a toll on me and I want nothing to do with gambling. And he can have that redemptive moment.
I could see that being a Maria Taylor type interview.
Sure,
Sunday
yes.
Night Football.
You get the soft lighting. Yeah. You do it's our sit-down interview. It's 30 minutes with Brendan Sorsby on Peacock exclusive,
yes.
And then you get 5 minutes or whatever on the actual big-time NBC show.
How about Joshua Perry?
Hey, for Joshua Perry. Yeah, there you go.
Exactly. He's right. An NBC reporter.
Joshua. Let's go. Let's go Joshua is a little bit of a journalist now. He would hit him with too hard of questions. NBC would be like, nah, we can't do
but
this.
But that's my point is like, there's a situation where he does a big sit down interview. He talks about how crazy this has been. And then he gets a little sympathy for that. And then he goes away and becomes backup quarterback in the NFL where you really don't hear from those guys unless they want to be heard from, right? That's a different type of circus than like Tim Tebow instantly would be, why isn't this guy starting?
Shedeur Sanders, first round pick.
Shedeur Sanders has been, why isn't this guy starting, even though he was a fifth round pick, believed to by some to have first round talent. Brandon Sorsby is probably not going to be in that situation, especially if he goes to a team that has an established quarterback. Now, if that guy gets hurt and he gets thrust into it, well, that happens. But I don't think the right move is for him to go somewhere that needs a quarterback this year and needs that fix right. Like if the Jets drafted him, that's a disaster. Why would you? The Cardinals drafted him. Disaster. You don't need any of that. That makes no sense.
That's why I've heard some people say Steelers could be a good fit. First of all, the Steelers, they usually don't mess around with knuckleheads. Second of all, they have two young quarterbacks behind Aaron Rodgers already.
Yeah.
They didn't draft Drew Aller. They didn't have Will Howard. I know Will was a sixth round pick, but McCarthy seems to really like him. Now, what's McCarthy going to say? I don't like this Will Howard guy, but he's been gushing about Will Howard. My point is, they already have two young quarterbacks behind Aaron Rodgers. I don't see them taking a chance on Sorsby.
If they
didn't burn a third round pick on Aller, I could see the Steelers perhaps doing it.
Yeah, but I think to your point, if they do that, that would make no sense. That would be like a lack of organizational strategy, even more so than Drew Aller joining a quarterback room that they already have a draft pick in. But now that just feels like you're throwing crap at the wall because you have no plan.
Right.
Like, let's take draft picks in each of the 3 years and draft a quarterback, including next year, which hasn't even happened yet for Sorsby. That doesn't make sense to me either.
And they're probably going to be just good enough to like not be in a position to draft a quarterback high unless they trade up.
Yeah.
Just think about that. I think that was the worst thing for the Steelers to re-sign Aaron Rodgers. The worst thing for them, in my opinion, would be like going 9-8 again. Hmm. At some point, I don't know, this is not in their DNA, but like at some point you got to just like, I like what your Browns are doing, man. And you know, Isaiah Jacob, who is our producer for On the Money, big Browns fan, and he, you know, the Miles Garrett trade was tough, but he said at least they're keeping Denzel Ward. And I said to him, you know, I understand what you're saying. That'd be a lot to lose in one offseason. You lose Miles Garrett and you lose Denzel Ward, but I would trade Denzel Ward too. If you're going to rebuild.
Go all in. I'm with you.
Tank hard this year. They have so much draft capital. They can just trade up if they want to next year. But if I'm the Browns, I tank hard this year. You traded Miles Garrett to build for the future. Trade Denzel Ward too.
Yeah, get what you can back and you build the youth movement around the new core of the defense, right? With some of those young guys that you have. I totally agree, but yeah, they have to get the quarterback situation right. Brandon Sorsby is not that guy. No. If I'm the Browns, I'd stay away from him personally. All right. NHL team making life rough on our Blue Jackets. I'll tell you why in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
At some slowdowns over on the east side. We're talking just outside of Reynoldsburg, 70 westbound, just passing State Route 256. Also, a heads up for our southwest drivers. We're talking from the south side over to downtown, 71 northbound over by Greenlawn Avenue. And speaking of downtown, just a heads up here, starting tonight at 9 o'clock, we will see ramps closed in the area, including that 70 eastbound ramp to 71 southbound. The repairs lasting for 2 weeks as well. Instead, for that detour, take 70 to 270 to get eventually southbound on 71. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan traffic.
Scotty Business. T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Tyvus Powell is a legendary Buckeye. T-Bone loves to eat Buckeyes. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
All right, if your air conditioner never seems to turn off, well, this time of year, obviously it gets warm, but could be because your worn-out windows are letting out the cool air you're pumping into your house, which means your air conditioner is working more. Broken seals and old frames can let that cold air escape from your house, and that means you're only going to get hotter this summer. You can act now, though, to fix it by going with Window Nation. The pros at Window Nation can help you get new energy-efficient windows at a great price with Window Nation's Buy 4 Windows, Get 4 Free sale. That's going on right now. Yep. You could replace all the windows in your home and get half of them for free. Plus, you can get zero down payment, no payments or interest for 2 years. The deal's incredible. And of course, It's a great way to get your windows fixed in your house right now. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, a 50-point inspection on every window before it leaves the factory. And with that sale, you're getting a great deal. Buy four windows, get four free with Window Nation now. Schedule your fast free consultation. It's simple. It's at windownation.com. Once again, that's windownation.com.
I tell you what, this Mike Babcock situation, the gift that keeps on giving.
God.
3 years ago, he was fired and never coached a game for the Blue Jackets. It reminds me of the George O'Leary era at Notre Dame, or maybe the Mike Price era at Alabama, where coaches hired.
Those are good pulls.
And never coaches a game. And okay, that went away. And people are like, if you don't remember, like the biggest thing was Babcock was meeting with the Blue Jackets players and wanting to see their pictures on their phone. You know, you have nothing to hide.
It was not just that, but it was, to your point, he like threw him up on a screen in his office of like, let's go through your phone. And he claimed at the time, right, that it was, I'm just trying to get to know my guys. And so, you know, the veteran players, I think I don't want to say it was the consensus, but more of the veteran players took that as, oh man, this guy genuinely cares about us. Oh, look, there's a picture of your family. There's a picture of your dog. Oh, that's cool. It's you and your pop hanging out. That's really neat. I remember your old man. I used to coach your old man, or like, you know, stuff like that, that kind of had a little bit more of a camaraderie feel. The younger players, on the other hand, are like, why are you going through my phone? What do you want to see that's on there? Which makes sense. I mean, I would think a veteran NHL player might have family photos and stuff like that. A younger NHL player might have photos of them with whoever they like to hang out with. Maybe of them. Maybe there's a photo of them in not as much clothing. I don't know what, but maybe they're sending that to people that I don't know what people do, but I'm saying the youth movement and the veterans might have different things on their phone.
Definitely. Because if you remember, like guys like Boone Jenner and Zach were saying they didn't have any problem with it, probably because he treated them nicer, one, and B, they didn't have anything weird on their phones. Here's the thing, though. Like, this should not be a distraction for the Jackets. The NHL's reopening the investigation, and I read a story yesterday. Porty does a great job with The Athletic covering the Jackets, of course. And the crux of the story was, you know, this could be a big distraction for the Jackets this summer. As you said during the break when we were talking about this, if they allow that to be a distraction, that's on them. Yarmo's not here anymore. John Davidson's barely... You know, he's kind of still with the organization,
yeah,
but not
involved,
really.
But not not the same level.
So, like, you know, new head coach, new everything. Like, I heard Don Waddell say this. Like, we're just letting our legal team take care of it. Do that. This should not be a distraction for the Jackets. This is something that happened 3 years ago. The Jackets didn't do anything wrong other than initially hiring him. Then they fired him. So, I disagree this is going to be a big distraction for the Jackets this summer.
Well, because Edmonton wants to hire him, and I find this to be so bizarre. That basically what happened was the Jackets fired Mike Babcock, and then the NHL said, oh, okay, he's fired. No need to investigate further. End of scene. Like, Mike Babcock is not in the league anymore. We don't have to investigate how or why this happened, why he was hired in the first place, what he was doing. We don't have to look into that. So they didn't. And they basically have said, well, if team wants to hire him, then we'll do an investigation. So now that Edmonton wants to hire him, I think they kind of left it out there almost not quite like a show cause penalty, but essentially it was an NHL version of a show cause penalty, where it's, if you want to hire this guy, you better tell us why he's a better option than anybody else out there. Because that's what Edmonton now has to do, is they have to go to the NHL and the NHLPA and say, he is a valid coaching candidate, and we don't think what happened in the past should affect that. Well, now the NHL is saying, well, before we can sign off on this, we need to investigate that situation. So who are they going to call but other players who were involved in the situation, many of whom still play for the, or at least some of whom play for the Jackets. So I'm guessing some of the players would rather not have to reopen this part of their lives, not reopen. Yeah. So tell me again what Mike Babcock asked you to do. Like, that's stuff that I'm sure a lot of those players are like, dude, I just want to focus on hockey. I don't want to have to fly to Toronto or have you fly here and didn't have a 3-hour meeting about this, go through all the things. I'm sure a lot of the players would rather just ignore the email or say, no, thanks, I don't want to participate.
I think the Oilers are just salty here because they can't hire the guy they want, which is Bruce Cassidy, who was fired by Vegas, yeah. And they want to hire him, but Vegas is not letting him out of his non-compete because they're still going to pay him like a lot of money to not coach next year. And I think they're salty about that, and they're like, how can we like really like ruffle some feathers? Let's say we're going to go after Mike Babcock. I don't even know if the Oilers really want him. I think they're just ticked off they didn't get the guy they wanted, so they're trying to like rock the boat a little bit.
Well, it does feel a little bit like they want the NHL, because there's been this other controversy with the Vegas Golden Knights that should they be allowed to prohibit other teams from talking to a guy they fired who they said we don't want around here.
Right.
Their argument is, yeah, because we're paying him, we should be able to keep people from hiring him. The argument from some other coaches around the league and some other teams around the league is, well, that's not fair. Like, why can't we pay? We would pay him too. So
and you fired
he wants,
him.
And you yeah. fired him and he wants to work. You don't think he's any good. Then why are you prohibiting him from working for us? Like that logic to me is pretty sound.
Yes.
So it does in a way feel like Edmonton saying, okay, NHL, you don't want to move on Vegas. Then guess what? We open this can of worms.
I which think that's is, exactly which
is,
what it is.
Which is entirely spiteful, and I'm kind of here for it. But I also feel like now the Jackets are just sitting over here like, oh, God. Now
we got to deal with this again. I guess that is the point.
Like, that's the frustrating part. Is like it has nothing to do with the Blue Jackets, but now suddenly their players are going to be asked to meet because Edmonton wants to be petty or the Knights want to be dumb or whatever this little back and forth is with that situation. Now Babcock's name comes back and the Jackets players have to reopen this and this. They have to be asked questions about it, which is stupid.
Yeah, and that is annoying. These guys, hopefully it's just a Zoom call. Hopefully they don't have to like meet in person or anything like that. That is annoying, but it shouldn't affect anything the front office is doing.
Why wouldn't they do an investigation? Even though he got fired, it's like you had like something happened, right? Like if someone robs a convenience store, then they're like, oh, never mind, I just won't go to the store anymore. It's like you still go to jail. They investigate to find out who robbed the store, right? Like Mike Babcock did something that broke your rules, and before they could punish him, he was fired by the Jackets.
It's like the Athletic.
Still go and punish him. If like have a sanction ready that says, well, if you ever come back, you're not allowed to coach for the first 20 games. We're going to suspend you for what you did with the Jackets. Why not do that investigation when it mattered? Not now.
That's typically how it goes, like across like, you know, businesses, sports. I mean, look at Diana Russini. Did the Athletic drop their investigation when she resigned?
Right.
No, they're still investigating that. They have not released the findings yet, but they're still they're not like, oh, okay, she resigned, we're just going to drop it. No, they're continuing the investigation. Yeah, that was an odd move. I didn't even realize that's how it went down. After they fired Babcock,
they investigation until, well, if he ever wants to come in, then we'll look at it.
That's why I think your show cause analogy is completely on point.
I genuinely think it was like the NHL version.
Yeah.
Because they're like, do you want this headache? Then, and Edmonton's basically like, yeah, we want the headache. Since you won't deal with our headache with Vegas, we're going to give you this headache. And now the Jackets are like, what the hell? We're just in the middle of this for no damn reason. Well, the only reason is because they hired him in the first place, but now none of those people really are involved anymore. So it really does suck for like Don Waddell and the people who had nothing to do with this, who now have to deal with this mess, even the little bit they have to deal with. It's annoying. It's just another annoying thing in a Jackets offseason.
I know it's probably part of the CBA, and that's why the NHL can't do anything, but it's too bad the NHL can't step in and be like, no, listen, we know he's under contract next year, Bruce Cassidy, but you guys fired him and brought Torts in right before the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, you can't prevent him from coaching next year. Like, I wish the NHL could come in and do that. That's exactly what this is. I'm with you. I'm kind of here for the spitefulness from the Oilers.
Yes, it just sucked. I wish it was any other team than the Jackets that's caught in the middle of all that. But yeah, imagine having that problem that Bruce Cassidy has, which is, hey, we'll pay you whatever. Like, I don't know what he was getting, $4, $5, $8 million. I don't know how much they paid.
$5 million.
All right, $5 million. We'll pay you to just not coach. And he's like, but teams want me to coach. It's like, yeah, well, we'll pay you not to. And then the second he gets done being paid for that, those teams will then call him next offseason. Someone will call him next offseason and give him a job again. So, and I'm sure he could go do TV, right? Like, you probably still could get paid because that doesn't bother them.
Yeah, you just can't be like a head coach. It's just so petty by Vegas. You fired him. Like, it's not like he left.
Right.
You know, he quit and now he wants to go coach like the Oilers. Like, you fired him.
It's really insane. All right, we'll hit the buzzer next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Still watching that crash for you on 315. It's in that northbound direction over by Linworth and Worthington. Just as you're passing Bethel Road and right before 161, that left shoulder is now currently blocked for you. At least a little bit better when it comes to the actual scene. But here's the thing. Traffic is still lingering for you this morning, about 17 miles per hour when it comes to your speeds. 315, not the way to go right now. Definitely take 2371 or even Riverside Drive to head back northbound on 315. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
fan.com.
The Fan has a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to the Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Tyvus hates Girl Scout cookies.
I hate it.
And little girls. And America.
I hate it, hate, hate.
Seriously, Tyvus, what the hell?
Okay, whatever this is, I already hate it.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Now joining us, he is the one of the co-hosts of Bishop and Friends, Eric Reeser. Dave Biddle in as well. He's been filling in for
gentlemen.
Joshua Perry. Good morning.
Good morning.
Reeser, how are you?
Good to see
you,
Reese. I'm well. I'm glad sanity has prevailed.
Oh, yes.
A sport that's been insane for as long as I can remember.
I'm curious. So the Brendan Sorsby ruling now appears he will withdraw his request to be able to play college football. He will, after the Big 12 and the NCAA filed some legal briefings, the Big 12 one especially seems like it had some teeth. He decided, I don't want to keep messing around and miss my chance to play in the NFL this year. This looks like this could drag on past June 22nd, which is the date where you have to declare for the supplemental draft if you want to go. He decided late last night he is going to do that. So he will be now out of college football. So many questions and so many angles to go off of this. We've been talking about a lot this morning, but one of the angles is apparently Cody Campbell says he's getting to keep the money, whatever money he was paid, which at this point
was, I think that was the sticking point for me where I thought that week three, you were going to see Brendan Sorsby playing against Houston because of the money that had just been thrown at this case. Cody Campbell's a guy where he has infinite resources and infinite enthusiasm for Texas Tech. He wasn't going to lose this.
No.
But I feel like what happened last night was the Sorsby camp came to an agreement with Cody Campbell that while they're not going to probably pay back the whole thing, maybe there's an agreement down the road. Sorsby's going to be getting NFL money probably pretty soon.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder.
Where do you think he'll go? Like what round, if you had to guess?
Second, third.
That's where I'm at.
I think second is something that NFL teams that are looking to 2027 can now say, well, we can get our quarterback and we can start this process now. Like, I look at the Steelers, the Cleveland Browns, the Arizona Cardinals. Like, if they were thinking at all 2027, we're going to get a guy in the first round because probably not going to be great this season, you can do that. You can kind of get a jump start on that process, even especially for the Steelers, I think about. Because Mike McCarthy didn't draft Will Howard. If they had to reprogram Drew Aller, if Aaron Rodgers is done after this year, well, Mike McCarthy's got to get a new quarterback. And if he's getting, from his scouts, first-round grades on Sorsby, what's a second-round pick? What's a third-round pick for Pittsburgh to do it now?
I love that because, like, all morning we've kind of been more on the opposite angle of, like, I think he should go. I don't think he's ready to play. Like, I think
nobody can sit this year. The Steelers are going to be 8-9 wins.
Yeah, but they burned a third-rounder on Aller, though.
Sure, but
yeah,
you know, I mean, and McCarthy's been even though he wasn't there when they drafted Will, he's been talking up Will Howard big time. Now, is he going to blast Will Howard? No, but I don't think he'd gush about him in that fashion. If they didn't have Will Howard and they didn't have Drew Aller, it would make a lot of sense.
But either one way, of those two, I do think like other teams would be interesting to keep an eye on. I'm curious what you think, Reese, is like the Lions. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that okay. Dylan brought up who the Lions
Bucks.
And who else?
The Bucks,
yes, of course. Yeah, with Baker, like. Teams that have a quarterback now, but maybe in 2 or 3 years, that guy's not doing it. Another team that was brought up in our chat, which I think is interesting, is the Cowboys, right?
Yeah.
Dak's not going anywhere.
That
but
makes a lot of sense.
If you think he needs development, but he's got all the tools to eventually be this big arm guy that could turn into a mobile NFL quarterback, yeah, taking a flyer there.
And it's all
there.
Predicated on in your scouting departments when you've done your evaluations on what you thought was going to be 2027 quarterback heavy, or at least this was going to be the quarterback draft class of note. Where was Sorsby in that calculation? Or was he another?
Well, the weird thing is it slides around based on what he would have done this year.
Yeah.
I tend to think he wouldn't have been as high now if he came out, you know, like in, if he was coming out with no tape next year, I don't know that he's as high as if he goes out and then has like, he could have had a Heisman level season. We don't know. We don't know what he would have done. We'll never find out.
He would have been a fifth year senior this year. So if he was that good, you could make the argument, wouldn't he have turned pro after his third year or turned pro after his fourth year? Well, now he is turning pro after his fourth year, but you know what I mean? I'm with Reese. I think it's going to be probably second at the highest. Third probably is where I'd put my money at. And the Cowboys make a lot of sense. Jerry Jones likes the circus. They don't really have good backup quarterbacks there.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to rush them in. You got Dak. That would make a lot of sense to me.
What about a team like Atlanta? They just have Michael Penix and Tua there.
Well, yeah. I'm
like both very ouchy guys.
Is Brendan Sorsby left-handed and I forgot?
Oh,
I
don't know. Yeah.
It seems like they just love left-handed
not
quarterbacks.
Left-handed
there.
Doesn't have an injury history.
he doesn't be on
Stefanski's radar.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think Sorsby made the best decision for everybody.
No kidding.
I don't know if it was his decision, though. I wonder if Texas Tech was thinking.
So it could have been where they came to an agreement, but it would have had to have been Sorsby's final call.
Yeah.
Or at least he would have had to agree to it.
I don't think he wanted to miss the supplemental draft deadline, which is Monday, and then risk sitting out a whole season and then going up against all those quarterbacks that are coming out with no tape from this season.
Well, and I feel like the stuff that was filed late Sunday night from the Big 12 specifically.
Yes.
Where then also, don't forget,
you had Monday, three states,
Utah, yes,
attorneys general.
Utah and what was the other one? I forget.
Utah, Kansas, Oklahoma, yes. I want to say.
And all
came
said,
out and said, listen, Ken Paxton, we'll fight you.
Yeah, we'll fight the Texas AG in the streets if we have to. Like, we're not letting, that's not going to happen. And so I think once, like, everyone from Texas Tech saw that, I think they kind of panicked. I'm sure they let Sorsby know, hey, just FYI, we're not sure how this will go. Publicly, they're all saying, oh, we would have won. We're in good legal footing. We had every right. Cody Campbell's would say, we had every right to do what we were doing, and we would have still feel like we're in good legal standing. But if they're doing right by the young man, that was the right thing to do, was to at least acknowledge that, hey, we don't know if we're going to have this resolved in a week. And you've got a deadline. You really have
to think
about
it. Well, it felt like that's what Texas Tech was hoping for, is this wouldn't be resolved in a week, a month, or maybe even a year, so that Sorsby could get out that year in Lubbock.
Oh, yeah, but I think they were thinking our injunction would keep him playing, and then later on the ruling would come down. But now that you got all these states basically gearing up with their biggest lawyer that they have on the payroll, they probably said, all right, is this a fight?
Yeah.
Again, what is it worth for a guy who is... We don't even know what he's going to be. We don't even know if he would have been like a Heisman level quarterback or if he would have just been like a decent Big 12. So,
but he was the most sought after quarterback in the portal.
He was.
So that has to amount for something. And clearly Texas Tech thought it would amount to about $6 million.
Well, Reese, if only you guys had 3 hours to discuss such matters.
Plenty of Sorsby discussion. Yeah. What's next for him in this saga? Obviously the 22nd of June, that supplemental draft deadline. Dom Tabari, coming out of retirement just for a day. He'll be on with us at 10:30. We do our normal Tuesday hit with him. 11:30, Aaron Portsline. The Jackets have the 14th overall pick. It's next Friday, the NHL draft. But some other moves I think that they need to make in the offseason. Maybe some more Dylan Larkin speculation. Like, let's get reckless with it. We'll have Porty on at 11:30. We'll do the Real Truth at 10 o'clock. And then our Jalen Brunson. Who's the Jalen Brunson of Columbus?
Oh.
Because he's right now the most popular athlete in New York.
Mm.
And up there, in my opinion, in terms of lifetime, for 36 years, Jalen Brunson, Derek Jeter, Eli Manning.
Sure. Right.
Yeah, so who's the Columbus equivalent of that?
Very interesting.
All Archie right. Griffin?
Yeah. We'll see. This is why the discussion is going to happen. I'm excited to hear it right here on The Fan. Thanks, Reese. Appreciate it.
Shove it down your throat.
It's time for the buzzer.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services.
Don't go through another air conditioner breakdown.
For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day air installation.
Trying to get the latest numbers on this because it's kind of grown over the last few hours. But Josimar Diaz might otherwise be known as Vozinha. He is the goalkeeper for Cape Verde, right? Started off yesterday. This guy played yesterday against Spain. He had 7 or 8 saves, kept them off the board. Clean sheet against one of the best teams in the world. Cape Verde, first World Cup ever. This guy was playing second division Portuguese soccer. He's 40 years old, never played in a World Cup game. Had this big moment yesterday where he gets this big tie against Spain. But for him, a goalie, that's the best you can do. Keep him off the board. He had a ton of saves. His Instagram started off yesterday with 48,000 followers. Less than 24 hours later, as it stands right now, the number is 7.2 million followers for Vozinha.
Wow. And I believe his country has a total of 150,000 people.
Yeah, it's not like all of Cape Verde fans were like, oh, we all got to follow him. Like, they already were.
Right.
7 million people in one day, basically, off of one game. That is the World Cup. Perspective. Jalen Brunson, who you were talking about, his Instagram following, 1.8 million followers. Like, that's insane to me that this guy now is way more followers than even Jalen Brunson.
Nobody from Spain is following him, though.
No. Well, fair enough. Probably not. That's it for us. Bishop and Friends are next. Thanks to Dave Biddle for filling in. We'll be back tomorrow. It's T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
From the north side to downtown, we are noticing a new crash into the newsroom at 71 in that southbound direction at North Broadway. That left lane is blocked for you. We got some traffic really lingering, even extending, passing that 71 and 161 split out there. So a heads up, definitely make sure to pack your patience. At least for our friends on the west side, looking a lot better when it comes to your roadways this morning. Only a 6-minute commute on 270. That's great between 33 and Roberts Road. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan traffic. Have